Hey, Spittin' Chiclets listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great-tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new Zero Sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great-tasting flavors like Fruit Punch and Lemon Lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 300 of Spittin' Chiclets, presented by Pink Whitney from our friends at New Amsterdam Vodka here in the Barstool Sports Podcast family. Nice round number with 300. By the way, that's 300 with Barstool. That doesn't include what me and Whit did on SoundCloud before, and it doesn't include all the shows we've done with Biz. So that's why we weren't really leaning toward doing a big 300 show, but we'll do a big exclamatory show some point later. Let's say hi to the boys first. Producer Mikey Grinnelli. What's up, guy?
What's going on, guys? I was just thinking to myself that I'm probably banned by the Tampa Bay Lightning from contacting any of their players for the past week and a half. I've been texting and DMing and just hounding these guys to come on the podcast. So if we don't have any other more Tampa Bay Lightning players after this, it's probably my fault, but I did the best I could for this one.
Restraining order time.
Well, we'll say it right now. You did a fantastic job because we do have two members of the recent Stanley Cup champion Tampa Bay Lightning joining us a little later, Alex Colon and Pat Maroon. We'll get to them later, but let's continue saying hi to the boys. The Wit Dog, Ryan Whitney. What's going on, my man?
3-0 today. Three huge bets in the NFL, and I got the Eagles right now who are out to a lead. I am back. I was so cold. I was so bad at hockey, and then I'm just winning in the NFL. It's opposite world right now. I don't know what's going on, but it's been a great day. I haven't felt maybe as good as I'd hope, but still I'm like grinding through it, winning, gambling, and doing the show with you guys. So it's great to chat. And it was a pleasure talking to Kalorn and Patty Maroon. Both guys have been on Chiclets before, so it was good to catch up and really get to have them break down how they got it done and how they get to – just enjoy this last 6 days of celebration because they've been getting after it.
No doubt. It was fun stuff to talk to them. We can't wait to bring it to you in a little bit. Of course, last but not least, Paul Biznasty Bissonette. Biz likes that.
The Warthog.
You kind of had that Warthog tone to it. Jesus. First of all, great intro for episode 300 with Barstool. You had a little extra pep in your step, plus one assist in the first shift. Now, Whit, I got to ask you, and you're not feeling great. You think
speak up for me, buddy.
Do you think maybe it happened at the zoo? Was it maybe the depression of the animals wearing you down? And how was that experience? Did it all go as planned? Let's talk about your zoo experience.
It was great. You didn't see any of the animals. They must have really fucked them over and taken them down the street to like a little like field or something because they were gone. Maybe they were put away. They had to go inside because it was just a light show. Music playing at their huge animals, like lit up panda bears and enormous crocodiles. And as the sun set, my son loved it, bombing around with music playing and seeing all his favorite animals lit up. This light, Boston Lights, it was called. It's at the Franklin Park Zoo. And we had a night for ourselves. I had to do a swipe up there. For Peter Millar. And there was a dragon. There was a 50-foot-long dragon in this light show. So he's right behind me. And I had to do it like seven times. This one guy walked by me. He's like, you should put your mask on. I was like, I'm doing a swipe up for Peter Millar, buddy. Mind your business. This is what pays for the masks that I have to buy now with COVID. So shut up. But it was a great night.
You're a big cornfield maze guy, Whit?
No, but I've always just dreamt of getting to walk into that outfield, a field of dreams. That fucking movie, yeah. Catch with his dad at the end. It's just walking into that. I'd be down with that. I don't know what that question had to do with anything, though.
Oh, no, I was just wondering, and then I was going to ask RA. I mean, part of earlier my weekend was spent following you on social media. How's your trip been? You've been eating every single thing from the sea possible.
Oh, I've tweeted about it. I'm totally like Homer Simpson at the Frying Dutchman when he gets sued for eating everything. It was an all-you-can-eat buffet, and they sue him for eating everything. They said, do these sound like the actions of a man who had all he could eat? Well, so far, oysters, lobster rolls, squid, cherry stones, oysters again, shrimp cocktail, swordfish, clam chowder, oysters, shrimp cocktail, lobster roll. I'm just sucking it all in. I know I live in Boston, the seafood there all the time. And this is my first time in Provincetown, but it's such a fantastic place. I'm having a blast. There are so many seafood places. Everything's super fresh. I love it here, man. I cannot believe it took me this long to actually get here for the first time in my life.
So you're going
to
be on the IR in a couple of weeks with gout. Great. Good to hear.
Well, as long as I stay at the red wine, I should be good.
Solo trip to Provincetown.
Oh, yeah. I'm a big solo vacation guy.
I love it. He said, I go, Biz, you just reading books and chilling? He's like, yeah, I started this one. I fell asleep, though. What is that book called? Because I want to check that out.
It's actually right here. I'm gonna no free ads, but a free ad. It's called Made Men. The author's name is Glenn Kenny. It literally just came out like a week or two ago. It's the story of Goodfellas, not the actual true life story. It's the story of making the movie. So there's a lot of like film stuff about Scorsese, De Niro. It's not the gangster story. It's the making of the actual movie. So yeah, I cracked the egg on it the other night, but I'm gonna finish as much as I can while I'm down here because Goodfellas is, you know, one of the best movies ever, no doubt.
Love it.
Love it. All right, let's shift over to the old NHL. Of course, the season's over. We'll be moving on to the next season. Who knows when, but we'll get there. And apparently some of the Tampa celebrations pissed off some of the NHL people. Per our friend Darren Drager, the NHL reached out to Tampa Bay to, quote, question some of that behavior. He didn't get into the specifics, but I know they were, you know, doling out sips to people who are standing there hanging out. But listen, man, I don't know how you can blame the players. If there's a governor or mayor or whoever in charge telling people they can do this shit, don't yell at the fucking players. Yell at the fucking idiots in charge who are letting them have these occasions to get together, no?
I'll let Whit take this one.
I wouldn't even call them idiots. I wouldn't even call them idiots at all. I'd love to go down to Florida and live my life right now a little bit more normal. I don't understand how these guys have caught any shit. It's like, what'd you expect them to do? Go to a state that's actually open and not do anything? They had a boat parade. They didn't even have a legit parade. The guys were at the football game today. I don't think they've done anything that is that ridiculous. I mean, anything that whoever won the cup wouldn't do themselves. I mean, what are you going to do? Hey, guys, sorry, I'm not coming to the boat parade because I don't feel it's responsible right now in COVID. So you guys have fun. Send me some Snapchats.
Yeah. I think people are just, oversensitive to everything, given what's going on. And fuck, I don't know. They adjusted. They made some, they did the boat parade, as you mentioned. And fuck, I don't know, man. When you win a cup like that, you get a little crazy. I mean, that was kind of expected.
Yeah. And then, like we mentioned last show, it is Florida. They haven't exactly been huge about distancing or masks or whatever. So, again, when people are taking their cues from those in power, that's what you're going to get. So I'm certainly not going to sit here and shit on the Tampa Bay Lightning because of the behavior of the state and things that have already been going on. So a couple other notes. Steve Stamkos, he, of course, had sports hernia surgery back before the break, but apparently during his rehab, that triggered another injury. That's why, you know, he was only able to play one game. Huge impact, but another note we wanted to go over. Another one I sent into the outline with you guys. Gary Bettman, he took a little bit of shot at ESPN for this story about life in the bubble that we discussed a couple weeks ago. Greg Wyshynski, Emily Kaplan, I thought they did a great job on the piece. It wasn't a hit piece by any stretch. They were able to get some guys to talk to them, you know, about what life in the bubble was like. And Bettman said, quote, I saw that story. Citing 9 anonymous sources doesn't exactly get my attention. I don't know how many would, but 9's a lot. Anyways, it's unfortunate that somebody, meaning a journalist, so-called, would find that an appropriate story to tell. If you've got criticisms, put their names on it.
I agree with him. I really do.
Okay.
Because in a sense, like, if you got one source, okay, but if you got that many people, nobody can come open and say, like, if you're telling me a player is that uncomfortable and, like, really kind of putting his name out there for, like, shitting on what they had, I mean, it's not like he doesn't appreciate what they've, the effort that's been put through to get it done, but you're also being realistic into how it can be. So Bettman's looking at it and thinking like, all right, well, if it's that horrible, you think one guy would maybe at least agree. All right, well, you could say I said this.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from, but I mean, at the same time, these guys don't necessarily want to put their name to something that could come by, back to bite them in the ass, not necessarily from Bettman, but necessarily from Bettman, but maybe a GM or something. I mean,
I get what you're saying. Is you're saying that could potentially be used as artillery against them, and they're looking out for their own necks. And, you know, there is a slimy side of the business about it. On the flip side of it, as far as like Gary's concerned, him in the end, he's probably backing up the league saying, guys, like, we get this, but we fucking pulled this off in the middle of a pandemic, and what you want to focus is the negative.
Like, yeah, that's I think
that's
exactly
where it's like, I'm not gonna, like, dude, I like we essentially run a business behind the thing, and there's a lot of things that have to take place in order to make the engine run that people who have never been remotely in a room where they have to make difficult decisions like that, and they're just harping off like, oh, like, you know, like, let's focus on the negative, where it's like, yeah, it's good for a story, but all these people who are putting the time and energy in are like, Jesus Christ, man, like, what the fuck do you want from us? We're not seeing our families. We're behind the scenes trying to make everybody happy. We get that it's not an ideal situation, but we're trying to deliver the cup. And at the end of the day, if you didn't want to be here, Tuukka Rask left. I mean, he didn't want to be there. Fucking, like, you know, and now where the flip side of that is, people are going to be like, well, look how much fucking shit he took for leaving. Well, he wouldn't get it from me. I don't give a fuck what you do with your life. Do what makes you happy. And in his case, it was family oriented. So,
and he wasn't, by the way, he wasn't getting it from his teammates either. The point is, I will say, I'm kind of both sides of my mouth, because I did that article was good and it was interesting to see, you know, what guys thought. But I totally see where Bettman's like, are you kidding me? Like, one, there's all these anonymous sources, and as Biz said, it's. Can we just kind of appreciate that it got done? Now, obviously, you can't control the news and the narrative, but I totally could see him being pissed off at reading that article, or at least upset by it.
Was I surprised he took the shot back? Yeah. And you know, it was a shot. And I like Wish and Emily. I would have never been on either side of it, you know? I would have never complained or not complained. I would have never written an article, because we ask guys in here, yeah, it was difficult. And they kind of give their open opinion. I think they did that to a certain extent, but just via mainstream media, right?
Yeah,
but,
I mean, we've done the same thing here. I mean, to some
degree. Well, we interview guys, though. But when you're interviewing someone, you're like, hey, listen, your name's never going to be out there. Like, you can't tell me that guys get a little bit more in depth, maybe a little salt and pepperish. You know what I'm saying? When you know your name's not out there, it's like, it's not at all like coming on and doing an interview with us or any podcast where people are listening to it come out of your mouth.
Yeah. And maybe we also haven't given it a thought. Maybe they just wanted to highlight what wasn't so glamorous about it. And maybe we're sounding hypocritical in the fact that we've asked those same questions. I think everyone's aware that it was going to be very difficult on guys, and it wasn't an ideal scenario, but at the end of the day, it all got pulled off and it sucked. And right,
I'll tell you this. I talked to a couple guys in the league that there is no hybrid bubble happen. They're not doing that. It's like, we got it done. Now, here's the thing. And I didn't say this, but if it comes down to, okay, well, you don't want to do it or you don't get paid, then you start talking, oh, all right. You know, like, if you need to, guys need to make their money. They plan on the salaries they've signed for. And so you're going to wonder how it goes down. But if you could get any player's opinion right now, they want nothing to do with bubble, hybrid bubble, any sort of bubble.
Yeah, and I didn't think the piece was particularly negative at all. And I understand seriously why Emily and Greg were pissed, because, you know, Bettman says it's unfortunate that somebody, meaning a journalist, so-called, I mean, he's calling them so-called journalists for what I thought
was a shot.
It was a shot.
You went after us, so fuck you.
Yeah, but I don't think Em and Wish were going after them. I thought it was a very interesting story that people wanted to read.
For the
commissioner to shit on them and call them so-called journalists.
All right, if you're the commissioner, if you're telling me, if you ran all that, which Bettman, he was the man behind it, and you read that article, I don't know how you tell me you wouldn't be like, fuck you.
That's the thing that we're taking into consideration, is the fact that how much time and effort actually went into executing this. And it's like it, he's maybe in the grand scheme of things, he's being oversensitive to it. But it's like, given with what the work they did, and it was a lot of decision making, and that gets exhausting, and they pulled it off. That's why he took a shot back, because he felt that they did.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we're being pretty fair about this. Like, we've, yeah, anyway.
Yeah. No, I think we've been great about praising the league, the players, everybody yes. who's made this happen. You know, I just thought it just seemed a little personal to go at those two. But anyways, moving right along. Next couple things up on the calendar, obviously the draft and free agency. The first round of the draft is on Tuesday night. It will be on NBCSN down here in the States. Rounds 2 through 7 start Wednesday at 11:30 a.m. on the NHL Network. Of course, Alexis Lafreniere is expected to be the number one overall pick. It'll be a shock if he doesn't. And then after that, Kings, Ottawa, Detroit, Ottawa, Anaheim, New Jersey, Buffalo, Minnesota, Winnipeg round up the top 10. Again, free agency opens Friday. Expected to be tons of movement. There could be a lot of RFAs that don't get tended and, you know, do become unrestricted free agents. There's going to be a shitload of stuff going on, Biz, huh?
Yes. The job of an NHL GM never stops. And given this flat cap situation, it is going to be a very, very bumpy ride. And then throw in an expansion draft in the mix. These guys are right now currently having to be worried about 2 and 3 steps ahead. And it is the Hunger Games out there right now. So as far as Dubnyk right now, I believe, does he have a no trade clause, excuse me?
I can pull it up as we're talking. I had his notes a little further down.
You're seeing rumors about San Jose for him, I believe, correct?
Yeah, and they've been dealing with Jones. What's his first name again?
Martin Jones.
I mean,
tough season.
And it's been a long enough sample size to be like, okay, this guy might not have the juice that he once had. So in a two-goalie league at this point, you got to have at least a 1A and 1B, and maybe he'll accept that role. As being the number two guy. Jari just got a nice deal with.
Yes, hold on. Before we get into Jari and the goaltending stuff, because we just breezed over when the draft time's going on, I wanted to shout out, you know, draft weekend, it's very special. And most of the time, your first round pick, dream comes true. You go to the draft, you're up on stage. It's different this year. Everything's over the internet, over Zoom, which everyone really understands why. But you got to thank these players. It's such a crazy, exciting time for them. You're so nervous. You don't know where you're going unless you're number one, pretty much. And I also wanted to just say kind of not only good luck to these guys, but we gotta pump the tires of I think it's like, I don't know the exact name of what's going on, but in Mannheim, Germany, like, they're producing talent. They got Dreisaitl's in the league now. They got this kid that I think's going second overall this year, Stutzel. I was reading about, and then also Moritz Seider, who Detroit picked high, he's the defenseman last year. So pretty cool that Germany is really reaching that next level and producing world-class talent. It's exciting for that because everyone just knows about Lafreniere, but there's some great players that will be picked after him this weekend. So I think it's just a great time. I'll never forget the draft and my experience, and the guys will have a little different way about it this year, but they'll still forever remember, like, when they get the call and when they actually hear their name pick. So it's good luck to all those guys that are looking to get drafted, and who gives a shit where you go, because it really doesn't. The hard work starts after. Yeah. So that's my little pump up speech for everyone. Doesn't matter.
I heard Dubnyk towards the last thing you said, so I thought you were talking about some of the goaltending situation, all these crazy trades. If you in fact mentioned the draft, my apologies. And going on to the draft subject. I guess Stevie Y is up to his antics again. They said they said they were doing these Zoom calls, but he would remain dark. He wouldn't show his face. So I think everybody else was asking the questions and he was just there to listen.
He was doing yoga, he said, half the time.
Yeah, well, I think that might have been
a lot of
fart. Well, he was hiding his fart, so he needed that mute button going.
Maybe he was ripping the bong because it was a Zoom call. And he's
shit.
No.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Might not look like me, Biz, but you might look like you if you get enough fitness in.
Well, I was going to say, do you think that the seafood has helped with recovery rates?
I think so. I mean, you know, the thing is, I don't eat seafood fried. I know a lot of people love fish and chips and fried calamari. Seafood is ideally, it's a healthy food. And if you prepare it correct, you're going to get the health benefits of it. As tasty as fish and chips can be, I don't fry my fish. Once I had grilled calamari for the first time, I stopped ordering fried calamari. Seafood, if you prepare it great, it's great for you, great for your heart, healthy stuff. So by all means, eat that fish.
Oh, the other thing about Whoop, quick. When you see how many times you wake up, it is nuts. Crazy. Like, you think you slept great. You wake up 15 times. You might remember three of them. So it's kind of nuts that I don't know how I go about fixing that. Maybe I need a new pillow or a new bed or, it'd be nice to, like, naturally fall asleep as opposed to, like, taking an Ambien or being hungover, too. It's always probably a little bit better for
maybe one of those apps where it's like the comet, the waves of the ocean hitting the shore.
Some meditation.
Meditation.
By the way,
I've been into the meditation before, different times in life, for sure get into it. I think I'm actually due for like a little 10-minute, 15-minute a day meditation. That's probably what my brain needs.
You're going to come back from the month of November that we have off, and you're going to be like into the Yogi Berries. And you're going to be like a yoga instructor.
I'll be into the Captain Crunch berries if I'm into any berries.
Hey, I'll tell you, man, that night, I don't know if you guys have the Night Sky app, but did you see Mars in the sky Saturday night?
No.
No, I mean, if you look
Mars?
Up
Mars. You were on shrooms in Provincetown. You couldn't see Mars.
I wish I had some. No, there was like a lot of times when you see a bright glaring light in the sky, a lot of times it's a planet. And last night, I mean, I know you guys must have seen it because we're all on Earth together. It, plain as day, a big like little sort of brownish reddish thing. And it was Mars. If you go to the Night Sky app, it tells you where all these planets are. It's pretty good shit, man.
How many people did you ask to confirm that if it was Mars?
None. I went right to the app. It said right here.
Are you going to challenge this guy on the fact that he thought he could point out Mars out of the sky?
No, I think he's 100% sure it was Mars now. He wouldn't be talking about this unless it was definitely Mars.
I mean, okay, let's not forget my 10-year-old autobiography. I said I wanted to be a Playboy photographer, an astronomer, or what was the other one? Playboy photographers or movie director. Hey, anyways, we mentioned celebrations, and I'm not sure anybody celebrate more than Tampa right now. We did say we're going to bring a couple of the champions on, and we were lucky enough to get Alex Colon, Harvard educated, Stanley Cup winner. So I think we should bring him on right about now, boys? Well, from the halls of Harvard to the canals of Tampa, this guy has been on quite the ride lately, and now he can go by Stanley Cup champion. Congratulations, and welcome back to Spittin' Chicklets, Alex Colon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
How's it going, brother? We know you're not sober right now, but how are you feeling after that Buccaneers?
No, it's been fine, man. Like, it's been a long week for sure. Today was great. We got to go. The Bucs took care of us. They brought us to the game. You know, we didn't get to bring the cup on the field or anything because of COVID, but it was fun. I got to meet Giselle quickly in the suite. It was a good day, but it's been a great week leading up to, you know, all the events and stuff. A little different because of COVID, but I've had so much fun.
Take us through, you guys get it done, game six, it all goes down. And then what was kind of the celebration? Like, how long were you in the locker room? When did you fly home? What was the whole night like after?
So I don't remember the exact timeline when we won. It must have been like, because the game's at 6, right? So I think it probably finished at 9:20. We probably left the locker room at 12:31. I mean, the scene in there, it was probably a little different because not everyone's family was there. My dad was there. It was awesome for him to be there. But at a certain point, guys were like, all right, we gotta kind of get out of here. And we had a big room at the hotel where we just kind of, enjoyed it, and we had an early flight out, so not much sleep, but like guys were fired up too. That's why a couple of us were a little tired on the plane.
Oh, you think? Yeah. I was like, I wonder if guys are just gonna wait up until the plane ride and then shut her down. I saw Hedman with the Conn Smythe snoozing.
We were I remember at one point we were sleeping and Pat Maroon was just got so angry at like two guys and we're like, all right, we got to start drinking. Pat wants us to drink. We're going to drink.
Oh, geez. Well, that's one of the questions I was going to ask you. Do you think it was a, like, given the families weren't there and I know that you guys want them there, given like they've been with you the whole time, but was it a little more special at the fact that you guys were actually able to enjoy the moment, basically just the nucleus of the team and the people who were tugging on the rope to get the job done?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how it would have been the other way. I think that's probably a good question for Pat Maroon, but it wasn't even so much like that night. It's been this whole week. Like, we haven't been going to bars with the cup. We haven't really been doing that. We've just been done private parties with the team, with the guys that have been in the bubble. Obviously we go to the Bucks game. I went golfing one day and stuff like that, but every night we've just gotten that group together. And it makes it special because, you know, the players sacrifice a lot, but thinking about the trainer, there's 54 of us in the bubble all together. So you think about those, like, guys have families and stuff. For them to be a part of it, it was great.
Well, you talk about the bubble and how much of kind of a grind it was, at least from the guys we've chatted with. But I'm wondering, at the end of all of it, was there ever even kind of a moment when somebody spoke, or just the celebration so big, it was never really like somebody stood up and said anything once the game actually ended?
I don't think so. I don't think anyone, there was no time for anyone to get, I mean, we had a nice moment right when we brought the cup in. Our owner, Jeff Finnick, couldn't be there, which was tough for him because, you know, he'd put in so much into this team. But we got him on a FaceTime on, like, the speakerphone. And that was probably the only speech. After that, it was just, you know, beer dumping on guys. Executioner style, but yeah.
Alex, we've all seen Doc Talk. We know you're pretty smooth on a jet ski, but I got to ask, nobody try to make sure you got a life jacket on that Stanley Cup before you went for a ride there?
Well, did you see, there's one picture I posted where I have a life jacket on, actually, because I remember I told Stammer had the cup, and I'm like, hey, at some point during this parade, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm getting on a jet ski. So just be ready for me because I'm coming to steal the cup. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. So I ended up getting on a jet ski, and there was like a couple of police officers that gave me like the side look. And they're like, one of them just like, just put on a life jacket, right? And I'm like, all right, buddy, see you later. And then when I got the cup, there was kind of areas in the parade where there were more people, like in front of the waterfront. And I remember when I got it and just lifted in front of all those people on my jet ski, it was like probably the best feeling in my life, to be honest. It was really special.
I was going to ask you that. What does this do for Doc Talk now? And the fact that you met Giselle today, boy. I would put $1 million on the fact you tried to weasel your way in there for one with Tom.
Oh, my God.
Were the words Talk mentioned in meeting her?
So, like, there was a couple people we took pictures with today. We had to stay in our suite, but there was a couple excursions, and we met, like, the Bucks owner, and there was a couple people that wanted to take a picture with it. And then someone came up to Stammer and, like, hey, Giselle and, like, her boy and the daughter want to see the cup, if that's fine. And I think he asked Hedman, and Hedman's like, no, I'm good. And I'm like, oh, you're not going? Okay, I'll go. And then Kucherov heard it, and I've never seen Kuch get up so quick for anything in his life. He ran, and at first we were kind of worried because she wanted her kids to be in the picture. She didn't want to be involved. She's like, the kids love the cup. And then Vassy's like, hey, like, we gotta get her.
You're like, one for one. We're doing one for one here. This is a trade-off.
Like, this is more important for us to get the picture with you. But she was so nice. You know, some people just have like an aura when they walk in a room, and she had it. It was like, she was super nice. And I didn't get a chance to throw in the Doc Talk. I don't know if it was the right time, but I probably should have. She probably would have just laughed at me and agreed with whatever I said. But
she'd be like, yeah, sure. Yeah. Check in with us in a couple weeks.
Sure,
just, Alex.
See ya. Thanks.
Unbelievable.
Well, hey, so game four, I thought you were going to get the winner, but they tied up late and Shaddy gets it done, right? But then you go to game five looking to close out, just a heartbreaker in double OT. But take me in the locker room after. I'm assuming no down faces, just, all right, boys, let's get it done in game six. How'd that go?
You know, It was very similar to when you look back at our series against the Islanders. I think they end up winning game five in overtime. And I thought that was a game we played pretty well in. they end up Shaddy like broke his stick and they come down on a 2-on-1 or whatever. And I remember someone said like, hey, this is just like the Islanders series, guys. We're going to be all right. But even, you know, there's, you're a little worried because now Dallas might pick up a little steam, a little bit of momentum from that overtime win. But then I remember when we started to play the game, and even guys in the locker room were watching, they're like, the boys are dialed in. Like defensively, we were pretty good. So, but yeah, everyone stepped it up for that game, game six.
That forechecking display in the first two periods, like, just talk about the additions, like the Colemans, the Goudreaus, yeah. Those guys coming in. And, you know, I think people at the time thought, wow, that's a pretty heavy price to pay. But those guys were fucking big.
They were unbelievable. I think when you think about that line, it was Coleman, Goudreau, and Gord. And in the Columbus series, they were huge for us. But those are guys, like Gordo would forecheck for 3 minutes straight if he could. Like, he would go through the glass to the front row if he could. That's just the way he plays. Like, he's an energizer bunny. But, you know, those guys were so big for us. Those additions were so big. And I forget who said, like, you know, I think we're the best forechecking team at retrieving pucks. And that's probably not something that people think of when they think of the Lightning. But, yeah, that's a huge part of why we won. Like you said, that first period was great.
And like, I think that, you know, you talk about – everyone knows about Hedman and Kucherov point, but I don't know. You play with Cirelli the whole playoff, man. This guy's young. He's won everywhere. You got to think, like, the future for this dude is just insane because what a skater, what a player he is.
Yeah, I think – I remember looking back when you watched – was it Couturier and that – when he had, like, the hat trick against Philly, like, against Pittsburgh a while back, and everyone was talking about how this guy was going to – he was kind of coming into his own. And I think that's kind of similar to where Cirelli is right now in his career. He's gotten some Selke votes. And playing with him, for me, it's a treat because he's so good defensively. And as you get older in the league, I think you kind of start to find things offensively. And since he's been in the league, he's become a better offensive player as well.
I don't want to say you guys weren't challenged in there, but you guys were never really even close to the brink at all during the playoffs. Did confidence ever come close to even wavering just a little bit, or were you just kind of riding that same wave the whole playoffs?
We were a confident group, but whenever you're in the playoffs and you lose a game, I mean, you never know. Like, that first game when we played Columbus and I went to, what was it, 4 or 5 overtimes? Like, if they win that game, things could have been a lot different. I think we were pretty fortunate in a lot of those situations. You know, there's the one where Shaddy's stick breaks and then Perry scores. But other than that, we did pretty well in the overtimes. I don't think at any moment we were ever truly worried. But, like, you know, you want to be confident in those situations. So, yeah.
Stammer, I was going to ask Maroon the exact same question, but your experience is different because you've been there with him longer.
Yeah.
And I don't know when the news came that he wasn't going to be able to start playoffs. Did you guys realize it was going to end up extending as long as it did? And just, like, what was the feeling like throughout the group knowing that you're not going to have one of your main pieces?
Well, I remember when they announced COVID and the season ending, and Stammer had already had his surgery, and we're like, you know what, this really sucks, but we're like, if we're trying to look at a positive side, like, Stammer will be ready, like, he's gonna have this extra time, and once playoff starts, he's gonna be fine. And then he has a kind of a hiccup, and we don't think much of it, and it kind of lingers and lingers and lingers, and at a certain point we're like, this guy's probably not gonna play a game for us in the playoffs. And we're kind of devastated by that. He's a 60 goal scorer. He really, you know, helps our power play a ton. And our power play was kind of struggling a little bit at the beginning of the playoffs. So he worked so hard in the bubble. He was working his bag off. And in Dallas, he's like, I'm ready to go. And once he said that and he was in, we didn't know, like, until I think it was the day of, that he was playing. But once we found that out, guys, he wasn't like, hey, I don't need to play for, I haven't played in forever. I don't need to be on the first line. I don't even need to be on the power play. I just think I could help. So if you get me out there, what are these 2 minutes and whatever, 40 seconds, and he scores that goal. I think, I know you talked about it, Whit, when we were on the bench and like how crazy you went. When you think about how hard he worked to get back in the lineup and how important it was to him, because no matter what anyone says, he's a huge part of this team. But if he didn't play one playoff game, it would have been a little bit different for him in his mind. And for him to come out and score a goal that potentially, you know, helps us win that game is huge for him and for us, obviously.
And just being there that long, the captain, the loss to Chicago, it's like so, yeah. I was so happy for that guy. I mean, I've only hung out with Stammer one time, but just a great person. So excited yeah. for him. We're talking injuries. Now, my question is, you had Coop. He was like near tears. It sounded like Hedman was never going to play hockey again. Like before the first round, he ends up winning the Conn Smythe with ease. Did you guys yeah. like, was that a little gamemanship? What was going on there?
I don't even remember. Hedman was hurt.
Well, yeah.
No, like, I'm not joking.
No, I know. That's what. That's before the Columbus series. Cooper came out the day before. He's like, oh. I don't know. Biz, remember that?
I thought he injured it like the year before. I'm like, oh my God, they just lost Hedman. Like, fuck, they might get swept again. No offense. but it, looking at the press conference, I mean, give him an Oscar now if Hedman didn't have anything wrong with him.
I don't remember, honestly. He might.
There's our answer. There's our answer.
Nothing. Biz. Yeah. I don't know if I gave something away there or nothing, but whatever. But guys were like, you guys know how it is in playoffs. We had guys, I don't know if they'll ever release the injuries they had, but like I was shocked some of the guys could lift the Stanley Cup with their AC joints and like playing through, like, you know, vitamin T shots every day, like, you know, pretty great for them.
Pretty cool. Like you mentioned, your father was there. Just I'm guessing just a special hug between you guys yeah. and him getting to just be a part of that. Did he lift it over his head? Did they allow him?
I think at first he didn't want to. He's like, no, I didn't win it. I don't want to lift it. He came on the ice and, you know, my dad's not really like an emotional guy. I've never seen him cry in my life. And there's a picture on my Instagram. I posted it. It was kind of, as I was talking about, like at 1 a.m. when everyone was kind of leaving, the cup was just sitting there and there wasn't like anyone left in the room. And it was just him and me side by side. And, you know, it was like a really special moment. He was getting teary-eyed. I was getting teary-eyed. And he's like, you know what? You did it, man. And I was like, we did it. It was because, yeah, that picture, he's like getting a little teary-eyed. It's a really special moment.
If the mayor did it, I mean, your father had more to do with you winning the cup than she did. So he could tell me, fuck, I did it for the Bruins. So your father definitely could have for you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to the bubble for a second, regardless of winning the
can
cup.
Can we talk about the bubble?
Like, don't ever bring it up again, all right?
Hey, is the glory hole a thing? Is the glory hole a thing? Is that actually happening?
Stupid. When people were talking about everything that was going on in the bubble. I will say, when we first got to the bubble, our hotel was a little different because it was like all the teams that were already in the playoffs and we didn't play a game for like a week or like an important game for a week and a half. So it was like an all paid inclusive resort trip for a couple guys. I mean, I remember at one point Ovechkin and Pat Maroon found a scale and they were doing a way off on the everyone was betting on who was going to weigh more.
Yeah, I heard like Krug and McAvoy like, had a no push-up way. Competition with yeah. Crosby reffing. It was a gone.
Unbelievable.
Won't get into it, but that was one of the funnier. When I saw them and everyone was like, I think Ovi was like, there's no way you weigh, I weigh more than you. And he's like, get out the scale. And it was pretty funny.
That's incredible.
What would you give for your overall grade? I know a lot of work, a lot of people.
So I'm not going to complain about it. It was a tough situation for a lot of people, but you really have to give a lot of respect to the NHL and the PA for setting this up. There was no one that, you know, we got tested every day. There was no coronavirus that was tested positive. The way they set it up was unbelievable. Like in Toronto, we got to use BMO Field. We could do whatever we wanted. Edmonton was great. You just walked to the arena. It was a little long. It was tough being away from the family, but in the end, for them to pull this off was really special. And I give kudos to the NHL and the PA.
So I got a video sent to me of Matthew Joseph pulling the trigger outside of a hotel or something, just so buckled. Anyone else really stick out to you as just being extra waffled in the celebrations? And if you say nobody, that means it was you.
Oh, no. So I'll say someone. I think there was a couple guys. I know when Cooch.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
I don't know if you guys saw the parade, but he grabbed our owner while he was doing his speech and poured a beer down his throat twice. The first time was pretty funny. The second time, we're like, is he going to go for a third? And Cooch is the best. So when he gets going, he's pretty special.
It's funny. I played in a golf tournament at Paul Macia, and Vinick, his house is on the course. And it's amazing to hear about, like, that guy. He's the most loved owner I've ever seen, I think. Like, every person in the city, he does so much for the community. He's done so much for that team while also not being, like, too hands-on, if that makes any sense. So I know you mentioned him before, but what a moment it was for that guy in terms of being loved by everyone and then finally delivering that championship that it seems like it's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk to people in Tampa, I think he's, you know, one of the most important, if not the most important people in Tampa. Everything he's doing downtown, he's really growing the city. But, I mean, he's been my only owner, so it's kind of tough for me to tell. But you guys know how it is. You talk to players and how certain guys get treated and stuff. And there's nothing that if we ever asked for, he would say no to. He takes such great care of all of us. So, yeah, nothing but great things to say for Mr. Vinick.
I was going to ask you about team toughness, and the Luke Shen trade and bringing him in, or the signing, excuse me, I thought that played off huge, especially against the Islanders when they were pushing back a little heavier. And of course the addition of Patty Maroon and how strong he is around the wall. And he does add that team toughness element. Do you think that was so vital for this year? And I think overall as a team, you guys looked like you were standing in there a little bit more, like for the physicality stuff.
I mean, for sure. I don't know how much guys will talk about it, about the year prior, but I think that's something that we lacked for sure on our team. And I think there's a great picture if you see like the Islander series. And before, when I got suspended or something, or Goodrow did something to Nelson, and a couple of them came onto the red line, a couple Islanders guys, and then Shen, Pat Maroon, and Bogosian just went up and stood them right in the eye. And then Shen got into a couple fights and stuff like that. I think that was like the moment, like, you guys, listen, you got that Johnson's pretty tough, but we're going to stand in there with you guys. We're just as tough, if not more tough than you guys.
I know it's not summer like it typically is after a Stanley Cup, but what are your plans to unwind? Traveling anywhere? Just going to go up to a lake? What do you got in the menu?
I got
golf.
I don't really have much planned. I'm going to be playing a lot of golf. I know. The tough part is we don't know like how we're going to have our days with the cup because of COVID and guys living in Europe. And I know for me in Montreal right now, it's like a 14 or 20 day quarantine. So I'm not in a hurry to leave here. I think the cup stays here for another 2 months. So I'll probably enjoy myself as long as I can with it.
You'll stay as long as that thing's around. You're like,
yeah,
okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, man, hey, we can't thank you enough for hopping on. I know it's been a crazy couple of days, including today with the Bucks, which, by the way, I bought that to 6.5. Huge cover by Tom Brady and the boys for me. But, man, congratulations. Yeah, starting with Doc Talk, we chatted with you then. You became an influencer, and you go on to a cup champ. So we're really happy for you, man.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
Killer, do you mind if I ask you one more? I wanted to ask you about Coop and the fact that, you know, given in today's NHL, sometimes when teams don't meet expectations, especially when you have a very strong group, sometimes they give up on the head coach a little early. How much were the group just pulling and voicing, no, this is our guy? And eventually, of course, this year you pull through and he kind of finally gets his Stanley Cup.
He knew we were going to play for him. This year was really important, I think, for the players and for him. And everyone stepped up. He's been a big part of this organization, I think, for 8 years now. Everything he's done for this team, I think it was huge for us to share that with him.
Actually, we had one more. Ms. Biz had a question she wanted to ask via Biz. What was the first must-have food for you when you get out of the bubble?
Man, we haven't really – what have I ate?
He's been drinking.
Opus One. Pizza, that's, man, what he's been, like, eating.
We were going to go out to dinner at a nice steakhouse in a private room, and we went to like a pizza place and they shut it down and we just had pizza and beer. It was great.
Anyway, thanks for joining us, Killer. Yes.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Congratulations, brother. Thanks for joining us.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Just want to send a huge thanks to Killer Alex Colon for joining us. So obviously they just won the cup, lots of celebrations going on. So he was able to make some time for us and we're most appreciative that he was able to do that for us. It was a nice little chat. Embers.
Oh, big time. He's Doc Talk's going to be buzzing next season. And think about all the Doc Talk haters out there who are like, oh, yeah, these guys are more focused on making content. Well, this guy does it all, folks. This guy's the number one influencer this year in the NHL with the Doc Talking.
No doubt. And I'm not sure if he's going to drop anchor with that jet ski at all, but if Killer does, he ought to use.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Oh, biz, biz, biz. All right, we were talking about goalies a minute ago, and I'll tell you, man, there was a lot of goalies.
Why did you just say that? Like that?
I don't know. That made me laugh. So
I was like, what did I do wrong this time?
I don't know. I just instinctively go to you, Biz, when I need, like, you're like my security.
Oh, blanket. It's listening to your ad reads, man. It's like that's my meditation. That or you talking about movies, and then Whit talking about golf isn't very relaxing because I'm.
Hey, speaking of belly did you laughing, say goalies. Did you say goalies?
Yeah.
Lundqvist just tweeted out. What do you say here? I still love to compete. I still love the game, and I still want to win. Capital letters, exclamation point, and win. So,
oh, hockey boner.
Yeah. I think that's a guy who is not retiring and will be in the NHL this season. I think that tweet shows me he's going to be somewhere.
Oh, no doubt about it. I mean, the only thing
I know, but I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know if maybe he'd go back and play in Sweden. It's like I think his brother's a stallion on Frölunda. So maybe he'd want to play with him. I don't know. I figured he would be, but that's a tweet that shows like he's ready to go.
Him and Patty to the KHL together, package deal. We get into that in a little bit. We had Patty Maroon on too, guys.
Oh yeah.
We got chuckling. We won't divulge too much of that interview yet, but we still have some hockey to talk about, right, RA?
Absolutely, yeah. And like I said, goalies were kind of the big news this week. A lot of signings we expected, some we weren't sure of. But as expected and as earlier reported, the Vegas Golden Knights extended goalie Robin Lehner with a five-year, $25 million deal. Comes with a $5 million average annual value / cap hit and also a modified no-trade clause. Of course, Vegas still has Marc-Andre Fleury under contract for two more seasons at $7 million per. There's been a lot of speculation at what may or may not have with him. Obviously, Marc-Andre smiles. He's happy with whatever's going on. But $12 million on your goaltender, that's a situation we'll certainly keep our eye on with.
Yeah, you hear that they're kind of shopping him, making some calls. I don't think he'll be on the Knights when the season starts. Maybe return to Pittsburgh, boys? Is that crazy? I know they just got Jarry. It'd be $10.5 million a year for two goalies. Probably not. That's exciting to think about happening. I can't really picture where he's going to end up, but I do know that when the story originally broke, all right, I don't know who had the scoop that Lehner had already handshake 5 for 5. That was dead on. That was during the playoffs, and he was asked about it, and he kind of denied it right away, which is natural, but somebody had that scoop legit. And I think it really does come down to DeBoer got there, and he had no sort of connection to Fleury. It wasn't like, you know, Gallant being there from the beginning, and it was he was more comfortable with his team, the team he saw play in front of Robin Lehner, and that's kind of the direction they've gone. So I don't know where he'll end up. Who knows? Seattle, is that an option? Does he want to do that again? I think he wants to stay in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah. He does, but all right, you hit the nail on the head as far as money you're investing into goaltenders. And it's just, you know, when you're a team like Vegas, and they got a nice little window here right now. They got some good players, like especially with Mark Stone and Pacioretty. I think that's money that could be spent on another piece in order to get them over that hump. And I don't know. You got to imagine a flurry of moves. Like, I don't think somebody's just going to take him with that cap hit, or at least the money he's making. They got to probably retain some salary on that. He's not getting any younger. And you got to wonder, considering the goalie market is so hot this offseason, I mean, even as good as some goalies are, like, are they going to be making $7 million? Like, I think you get Markstrom. Like, what do you think Markstrom's going to get paid?
Yeah, therein lies the rub. I mean,
it's a very competitive market. And then Lehner, who's got better numbers – And I know that Markstrom means quite a bit to Vancouver, and I hope that relationship stays together and the fact that they're able to keep him and Demko. But there's just like, there's just crazy carousel as far as the goaltenders and situations going on. And I can't see Vegas getting over the edge with paying that much in goaltending, given the flat cap. There's got to, a move has to be made at some point.
And maybe a three-way deal, something like that.
Right. I just you wonder at that cap pit, though, how valuable is Marc-Andre Fleury as a piece? And I'm not taking away from his game at all. I still think he's a starter in the NHL. but what you're going to be giving up an asset to a depreciating one at what his age is at not a friendly cap hit in a flat cap year. I don't know, man. This is a greasy business, and I see a little bit of a conflict there. Am I going crazy here, Whit?
No. Alan Walsh is probably going. Alan Walsh might be going crazy, but you're cool.
As far as the original report with the 5x5, I believe Greg Wyshynski did have it first. I'm not 100% positive, but I know he did have that early on. So obviously it got shot down and said it wasn't true, but he was one of the first, if not the first, on it. And you mentioned Tristan Jarry. The Penguins signed him to a 3-year, $10.5 million contract extension. It's $3.5 million AAV cap hit. 31 games started last season. He was 20-12-1 with the 2.43 goals against, 9.21 save percentage, 3 shutouts. That's a pretty good number, though. I will say, if he ends up being the starting goalie, considering Matt Murray is slated to be a restricted free agent, the fact Pittsburgh signs Jarry to this 3-year deal, I mean, if he's the number one, man, that's a really, really nice price for your number one goalie, Biz.
You want me to start this one off again on the goalie shtick? Yeah, I think it's a great contract. I think given that his sample size wasn't so large, they were able to lock him in at that number. I mean, Christ, looking at even both their goalies, what's Murray making? I can't imagine.
He's RFA, I think.
Okay, so then I would imagine, given maybe the question marks there, I don't know what he's going to want to get paid, but I think they have enough confidence in Jarry to take over that number one role, where if Murray is asking for too much, he now becomes a somewhat valuable trade piece. Yeah, I think they have a great goaltending situation right now with two young guys, and I don't know. The book's still out on Murray as of late.
Yeah, Murray had the incredible run. He came on the scene. He's had a tough time being consistent. He's had a tough time staying healthy. And Jarry is a higher pick than him. He's a year younger than him. He was a second rounder. I think Murray was a third rounder. And so if you look at, like, Pittsburgh's scene in Jarry, all right, well, we might like this guy a little more. So we're able to get him at this deal. Now that all of a sudden that opened, we think we got our starter make it 3.5 for 3 years, which is ironically the deal that Murray just had that ended. I think he was making,
yeah,
you know, he was 3.75 for those three. So they've done a good job in terms of trying to get a goalie on the cheap that they also think can win them games, because they are paying some guys a ton of money. You know, they need that room up front the same way you're saying Vegas is going to need it.
So where the question lies here is what type of deal is Murray going to be willing to take when he's delivered your team 2 Stanley Cups? And there's a bit of pride that's associated to with it, with the starting position, and where he's going to be like, well, no, like if Jarry is going to be your guy, where maybe Murray's in the mindset of like, hey, I think half the games is respectable. Maybe we could share the net and I'll take another pretty fair deal based on what I've accomplished. So some question marks there, but what would you think a 2-time Stanley Cup winner would do? Do you think he's going for his payday and he wants to show that he can do it somewhere else?
I think he's RFA though. So that's the issue. It's not where he gets to have the whole league kind of fighting for his services, but I think that the Penguins will probably say, hey, sign another deal like the one you just signed. You know, and then all of a sudden they get 2 goalies at a combined around 7.5 a year. That's probably their ideal situation, unless they're just looking to trade him right away. But then you need a backup. You need another goalie coming in. I don't know how that's going to go down. But I think Murray can't really argue to the fact, like, I need to be your starter, especially in Pittsburgh. He knows he'd have to go in and beat Jarry out. Like, there was times this year that it was the complete opposite. Jarry was their guy.
Yeah,
and Murray's last deal was a 3-year, $11.25 million deal, which came out to $3.75 million a year. So, yeah, he's probably not looking to take a pay cut, which $3.5 million is less. At the same time, it is a flat cap. So asking for a raise in this day and age is also maybe, I don't say it's ballsy, but I'm not sure you're going to get it. So, obviously, we'll keep an eye on that as well. 35-year-old goalie Brian Elliott eschewed unrestricted free agency and opted to sign a 1-year, $1.5 million deal to stay with the Flyers. Moose started 27 games with Philly last year. He also serves as a mentor to Carter Hart. I think, Biz, he's got an ideal situation. You know, I mean, he's obviously in the back nine of his career. He can mentor this great young player. He's in a comfortable situation and seemed like a no-brainer for him.
I would imagine he's ecstatic about that deal. And I think every year he plays from here on out in the NHL, he's going to be very thankful that he's in the league. And I think that's a great number. on putting some value on the fact that he's going to be making Kata Hat a lot more comfortable in his net, and where he needs a guy where maybe he needs to talk to about some experience that he's already been through in his career. He can go to him as that mentor, and I think that's extremely valuable. And given how important Carter Hart in moving forward with the Flyers is, because if they're gonna win a cup, they're gonna need him to stand on his head. And I think that they understand that the time is now in order for him to get those years under his belt where he's a savvy veteran or turns
Elliot,
into one.
Guys love Elliot too, just a favorite in the room. And he won the national title with Wisconsin. He actually won it with Pavelski, I think 15 years ago now. So he's had a hell of a run in the NHL. He's been Ottawa, you know, the Blues, Flyers. He's kind of had a little bit of a suitcase career, but for the most part, wherever he's gone, he's been really consistent. When he does play as the starter, he was real good. Now he's the perfect sort of guy to help Carter Hart along. He's played long enough. He's played in a bunch of different spots. You could teach him about the ups and downs and also get in and still make a difference. So great, great re-signing for the Flyers.
All right. I don't know if you had it written down. Do you have the Johnny Gaudreau rumors?
That he put weight on from ham and cheese?
No, come on. There's some rumblings out there. I don't know if this is true, but potentially him going to Philadelphia. And I want to say I read on Twitter today that they were open to it. Am I going crazy here, or am I just obsessed with making up Johnny Gaudreau rumors?
I haven't seen that anywhere, Biz. Where did you read it on Twitter?
Oh, Grinnelli's coming in.
I've read it a few places. He's not crazy.
Where have you guys read this?
Questions, bud.
Here, let me find it. Oh, Pussy Crusher 6969.
Stan Bowman's like, shit. I meant to write Chicago. I had the wrong C team.
Maybe I over-exaggerate a little bit, and I got ahead of my skis, and I'm just obsessed with the – maybe we talked about restraining orders at the beginning of the pod for the Tampa Bay Lightning on G. Maybe Johnny's going to get one on me. This is quotes from on Sportsnet. And this, remember, as I said, I got ahead of my skis. Our two biggest needs right now is figuring out our goaltending and our defense. Brad Treliving spoke about the Flames' top priorities heading into NHL draft and free agency. So that kind of goes back to the Dubnyk situation at the beginning of the episode, where I think I just made that up in my head.
So that was you read Treliving saying what Calgary needs, and you took it and turned it into Johnny's going to the Flyers?
No, just the fact that there's been other rumblings of it, like, no, and just based on the like the trade list stuff, it seems like he's kind of up there. Anyway, let's just move on past these rumors I'm creating.
I love it. By the way, our fishing video is going to be dropping tomorrow, Tuesday. You mentioned Carter Hart, and me and Fridge, Todd Fedoruk, had a pretty extensive conversation about Carter Hart and why I say the name the way I do. So keep your eyes peeled for that video dropping Tuesday. But we got some more goalie news. A lot of goalie shit going on. The Jets signed backup goalie Laurent Boursois to a one-year deal worth $1.5 million. He started 15 games last season, went 6-7-1 with a 3-2-8, 8-9-5. Well, obviously backing up Connor Hellebuck, who isn't going anywhere anytime soon. And Pierre LeBrun, Dallas GM Jim Nill, has reached out to Anton Hudobin's agent, Kent Hughes, about re-signing the pending UFA. And the goalie, Hudobin, he does want to stay put. He loves Dallas. The team would like to keep the same combo last season. Bishop is carrying a 4.9 cap hit for the next 3 years. So Dallas is going to see what they can to make that work. I'm sorry, did you have something?
No,
I was going to say that's an incredible deal for Bishop. Under $5 million. That's for four more years?
Three more, but yeah. But either way, same point. No, that's a nice cap for number one.
I think they'd say to Hudobin, hey, the Jari deal is he not even considering that? Is that not near enough? 3 years, three and a half a year.
I think if you're getting that type of term on basically a number two,
you might grab it.
I think
what he signs for.
I think they could maybe get him a little bit cheaper than that. To be honest, I mean, Bishop's their number one. He's there for three more years at a very fair deal. I think anytime you're spending under $9 million on both, it's a great situation.
Yep. Other news from the goaltender front, Detroit will not offer Jimmy Howard a contract prior to the free agency period. The Wings put out a tweet wishing him well. And I mean, I can't believe what, he's been there 14 fucking seasons, man. I mean, he's a guy, great goaltender. I think on different teams, he might have had more success. He's obviously been kind of stuck in Detroit. Last season was a one-year, $5.1 million deal. He's going to turn 37 during the next season. But I think he could be a hell of an addition for a team, either looking for a high-quality backup, perhaps a number one, or even a mentor to a young goalie coming forward with.
I love Howie. I've known him for a long time. He's a year younger than me, played at Maine when I was at BU. He's at the national program when I was there too, or maybe the next year, but what a teammate. I mean, he was second rounder, but could have been easily a first round. He probably would have been after what they saw him do at Maine if the draft had been redone or if he was older, because he was so nasty when he first came into the NHL. And then he did spend the time in the AHL. I mean, he left school and he went to Grand Rapids. He played, I think, one full year there and then parts of two others up and down, maybe two full years, but took his time and then just became just an awesome goaltender, dominant at times. And I think Detroit, it was right at the end of their kind of true greatness, you know, when he became the starter and really took over. But competitive guy who, fuck, man, I got some funny pictures of this guy. He loves wearing like tight clothes, like how you love it. And you get some loud stuff for the golf trips. You know, he's got some, what is the word? Like, you know, bright, you know, some bright shirts. And so I can't wait to see the guy again. And I think that he's going to end up somewhere else, but Detroit's been all he's ever known in the NHL. And I think that he's earned the career he's had.
Do you think that he's going somewhere to prove himself again? And this is a guy that somebody could probably get on a very reasonable deal. Because like he's as RA said, he's been on a tough team, and I don't think his numbers have necessarily been there. And given that the market's so strong right now, you think this is a guy who 100% finds a job somewhere?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, I think for sure there's a team. It depends on what he's going to want for money. That's always kind of like, you know, does he want to keep playing for less money? I don't know. What was he just making at the end of this deal?
He was just on a 1 year, $5.1 million deal. So,
but he had a big deal for like 30 million. I remember maybe 32. And so he's made plenty of dough, you know? So if he wants to keep going, taking a little bit less and maybe tries to go to a winner, we'll see. But it's crazy, actually, how many goalie action there is. You brought that up before. Now there's so many good goalies. I feel like you used to not be able to find one. Now every team's got three, it seems like.
It's crazy. And he did sign the six-year, $31.7 million deal back in 2013.
How good is that without looking? Wow, 6 years, 32. So, as I throw a lacrosse ball up and down.
So you got to think money's not 100% the priority for Jimmy. I mean, if he could jump on with a contender, I'm sure he'd be down for that. Biz, you mentioned Devan Dubnyk earlier. There has been significant trade buzz with Dubnyk. The 34-year-old has one more year left on a six-year, $26 million deal that carries a $4.3 million cap hit. The team that's tagging the player has been San Jose. That's the team he's linked with. Apparently, they're envisioning a Jones-Dubnyk duo for next season. This seems to be a case of where there's smoke, there's fire. We'll keep an eye on it, Biz, but I think that's what you were alluding to earlier, no?
Yeah, and if you're San Jose, this is such a weird time for them. I'm not sure where this organization's headed. They've been one of those teams that has been able to sustain, great success for a long time. We've been very complimentary of that, but I mean, you know, I would imagine Joe, I'm not sure what the story is, if he's coming back yet. Has there been any news on that? And then all of a sudden you're trying to address your goaltending situation. Well, what are you going to give up for Dubnyk in order to help come in there and replace, or is this a situation where it's not going to cost much because Minnesota, you know, has him at a high price and they're trying to free up cap space. And also they understand he's on the last year of his deal. So just, you know, a couple of question marks with San Jose and with what they're going to do in goaltending.
Okay, and next up, this one's from Frank Saravalli, the great reporter up in Canada, although I believe he's an American. He said, quote, Don Sweeney has initiated conversations with teams about Rask's market value over the last number of weeks. Now, of course, that is a GM's job to, you know, weigh to see who might be interested. Honestly, I don't know how trading Rask helps the Bruins. They do need secondary scoring. To me, if you trade Rask, you just have a hole in the middle. You need a goaltender. Again, I don't, this could just be Don Sweeney crossing T's and dotting I's. And then Dominic Tiano added a tweet, Rask's modified no trade clause does not carry into next season. He will, in fact, have no trade restrictions on October 9th. So, I don't know. There seems to be a little bit of buzz about the Bees and Rask getting traded here. I know, obviously, I'm the Bees fan, the Bees guy here. I don't see why they would do it. I mean, the teammates were behind what he did. Unless the management is really pissed the fact that he opted to come home and be with his family, his kids, I don't see how trading Tuukka Rask makes the Bruins better.
Unless you show, tell me what you're getting back. Tell me who's going to be your guy. Everyone, all the people who said Halak could be the starter. Nope. So I don't know what you're going to get in return, but he better be a top 10 goalie in the league. If not, what would you say he is in the NHL? All right. Top what goalie?
I'd say five every year.
Say five every year.
I mean,
okay.
Career save percentage, you know.
You want to trade him? You're pissed he left. Well, people should have short memories. You feel like in pro sports they do, because if they don't trade him and he goes out and he starts the year, actually, you know what? I was gonna say if they don't trade him and he goes out and starts the year like 18-3, that everyone will forget. But with him, they won't. They'll still fucking shit on him until he does it in the cup. So. I don't know. You hear fans all the time. They got to trade Tuukka. I don't know how he could ever come back and play for the team. But who are you getting back? Who's going to be the guy that's bailing you out when you actually don't have nights that you dominate?
I'll sum it up with one sentence. Be careful what you wish for.
Yeah.
Get rid of him. You're fucking toast.
And I think the only people clamoring for it would are probably a lot of the guys who tune into 98.5 from 2 to 6. And
I got a lot of buddies who I would look at as I have a little bit more respect than the average sport radio caller who are the same way. I want him out of here. He can't play another game. I'm like, dude, all right, buddy, what are you going to do?
Yeah, careful what you wish for. And among the unrestricted free agent goalies that will be on the market, Markstrom, Hudobin, Holtby, Crawford, Grice, Craig Anderson, Miller, Howard, Talbot, Smith, Dell, Lundqvist. So, I mean, there's always goalies available every year, but I don't know if I've ever seen a free agent goalie market quite like this one. So we're obviously going to keep an eye on it. There's going to be a lot going on, but.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Talking about comfort and free agents, Biz, well, Pat Maroon is once again an unrestricted free agent after winning back-to-back cups. And I think we should send it over to him for his unique perspective on winning a cup.
Let's do it. Patty Maroon, folks. Enjoy.
Well, our pal coming on now is just the third guy of the expansion era to go back-to-back Stanley Cup champions with two different teams. He won it, of course, last year with St. Louis, and he won it again on Monday with the Tampa Bay Lightning. And he certainly appears to be having one hell of a time celebrating down in Tampa. Congratulations on Stanley Cup number two, and thanks for joining us on Spit and Chicklets, Patty Maroon.
Thanks, all right. I appreciate it. Thanks, boys. What a ride. What an intro. It's been a crazy couple few days, as you can tell through my voice. But, fuck, I still can't believe it.
I just want to say it's nice to see you have your shirt on, first off.
I thought there was no chance you weren't going to keep that going for the pod, dude. You got to take it off. Take it off. Let's start the fucking intro.
I should have just taken it off, eh? Fuck.
Well, speaking of your body, I heard you were having sumo wrestling weigh-offs with Ovechkin in the fucking bubble. What's happening there? Who had who there?
No one. Everyone had me, and I mean it was honestly what a night that was too. Like doing weigh-offs with Ovi and you know Sid there and some of the other boys. I mean it was nuts, man. Like the whole time. So it was good to hang out with those guys and actually have a couple of drinks with them and get their personalities.
Just who would have ever thought? I mean, it's yourself included. To do it with St. Louis and to bring a cup to your hometown, and then, like, you know, you're not re-signed, which I chirped them the other day. I said, why didn't they re-sign this guy? He fucking signed for 900 in Tampa, right? Like, Jesus Christ. But still, I digress. But then you go over to Tampa, you knew John Cooper 15 years ago, whenever it was. Like, just take me through your thought process on everything that's happened, or have you really not even had the time to sit back and think about how special this has been?
I mean, I've had time, but as you guys know, the last few days I've been partying and drinking. I've been bamboozled myself a couple of days. So, no, I mean, I had time. I mean, when Coop got the call and when he called me and when I got the call from Coop, it was, you know, he was just like, hey, what do you think about coming to Tampa? Let me talk to Julian. And, you know, Julian called. We had a conversation. We had some other teams in the work, but I told my agent that I wanted to go to a team that I wanted to win on. And I thought Tampa, you know, what they went through last year was, I thought I can help their locker room. I'm not going to help them on the score sheet every single night, but I know I can help them stick up for their teammates. They can play a little bigger. You know, like Cooch can play bigger. Tyler Johnson, Stammer, Palat, they can all play bigger and feel comfortable. They have someone that can protect them. And I knew they had a group that they can win it all. And I know I had history with winning with Coop. So it was just icing on the cake. So I think he needed his good luck charm to win that cup for him.
you're too modest about the score sheet thing, because you're picking off Sauce in the final game out of midair in the neutral zone. How good did that one feel?
Oh, that felt good. How about that, Biz? Eh? Those are some sick mitts there, eh?
You looked like Kucherov on every single fucking bad pass that goes around him. He's like the video game. If you just put it in his vicinity, he's going to find a way to get it on a stick in order to make a play. That guy is, it's ridiculous.
Patty, you look like Kucherov and when he's in warmups. Because he's going at like 60%, and then that's you at the game.
100%. It's the best one. Sean Avery's gave me a shout out too about my stick, so I can't complain about that. No, I mean, fuck, I don't even know. I blacked out there. I think I had my hands up and they were bitching at the bench because they were telling me to get off and I was tired.
And you still made the play. So you're like, shut up, I know how long I should be out here. I've been doing this long enough.
Well, the best part is I thought Volkov scored because it was his first game, and I was going nuts. And I was like, who scored? And then I go to the pile, it's Coleman. I was like, oh, shit, maybe I should have changed.
Unreal.
Pat, we've talked to other guys about, like, the day-to-day aspect of the bubble. And obviously you guys won, and it ended up great for you guys. But how challenging did it get for not necessarily you, but just the day-to-day grind of every day, the same thing over and over again?
Yeah, I mean, it was a grind for sure. All right. And I think the problem is, like, you know, I'm so used to, you know, it's sad, but just I'm used to leaving Anthony every single year. Obviously, the year before I stayed in St. Louis, but, you know, I was used to being away from family. And I know some guys were asking me questions, you know, what it's like. And I just told them it's going to hit home for you when you're 2 weeks and then a month into the bubble. And then you're a month and a half in and your family, you can't see your kids. And then when you get inch yourself closer to the Stanley Cup or the conference finals and you're trying to get your families in and the Americans can't come in, but the Canadians can, kind of sucks. But we came together as a group during that whole time. You know, Toronto, we were fortunate. We had pickleball. We had tennis courts. We had a pool outdoor. We had like five restaurants. We had the BMO field where you can go over and play spike ball. Soccer, football, play catch, you know, there's kind of a bar outside. There was a restaurant open there at 5 o'clock. So we had things to do in Toronto. Then when you got to Edmonton, it was kind of, we call it the prison yard, which it wasn't, but it was a cement concrete where you can tell why guys in Edmonton were struggling probably more than the guys in Toronto.
Well, you guys got the free ice caps though, I heard, from Timmy Hortons.
It's the best. The free double doubles and the donuts. Can't complain. So, I mean, it was tough at times for sure when you're sitting there grinding your way, but we were fortunate to have a good team. So we never felt like we were out of it. And I know you guys touched on it a bit, like when a team's down 3-1 or 3-2, are you kind of throwing in the towel just to get home? Like, we didn't have that feeling. We had a feeling where, like, we were winning every single game. And we were never down in the series besides in Boston down 1-0 and besides in Dallas in 1-0. So we always knew we'd find a way. So we didn't really have that we're going home mentality attitude. We came together, you know, obviously you guys know hotels, you have a few drinks, but it's, you're just kind of hanging out and you really don't have anyone kind of to lean on besides yourself and your buddies that you're part of the team. So you kind of have to make ends meet. And I thought we did a good job of that.
Any staring contests in the bubble where guys might not like each other, maybe catching their eye for an extra second? We know of guys getting in the same elevator and being polite, but did you have any situations like that?
No, I mean, in the Toronto bubble, it was everyone getting the same elevator together. I think when you were playing that team, like say Boston was in our hotel, they would walk in, say they would go in the elevator first. We'd wait. We'd have respect for that. And that happened in Dallas too. We won game five. Guys were waiting. I walked in the elevator. It was just by myself, and there's Dallas Stars guys waiting behind me.
Well, so you shot the puck at them. You fucking shoot the puck at them during games, you clown.
What a fucking move, you goon.
Hey, did that change the series or what?
Okay. All right. That's your little ploy. I know you did something last year where you were going by whose bench and you said something. I think it might have even been the finals, Boston.
It was Boston, yeah. Game two.
So that's your thing, eh? You're gonna talk that shit.
Next year he's gonna fire his stick in the bench because it's gotta get worse and worse. Last year was just verbal. This year it got a little physical. Might take his skate off.
I mean, you guys have no idea. Like every time I go by a bench, it's like you're fat maroon, you're this, like eat a donut. I'm like, guys, I get it. Like it's so goddamn annoying sometimes because I just get chirped how bad of a hockey player I am and how big I am. And it's just like sometimes it just gets annoying. And I had enough of it. Dallas so just kept
you're
chirping.
Like, you're like, I had a way off for a reason. I fucking know. Like, come on, shit. Guys.
Seriously, throw me a bone once in a while, you know? Unreal. We're in the same league together. I can't be doing that bad.
Yeah. Like basketball. Well, like, if you make fun of me 15 or 16 more times, I'm going to lose my mind.
To be fair, maybe they thought the elevators had a weight restriction and they didn't want to go over the limit. Maybe they were being more thoughtful than anything.
No shit. Hey, I'm not that big yet, Biz, eh? I'm not at my kicking point yet.
As a player, did you guys feed much into the situation as the what was it, game three? I think it was game four, where the penalties back and forth, there was a lot of weird calls in that game. Like, do you guys just erase that out of your guys' memory, given the fact that you guys got that PP and OT and it was a bit of a soft call?
Yeah, I mean, but they had their opportunity before that, didn't they?
Okay, fair enough. Good answer.
There you go.
They had a 4-on-3 right before that, and then another 5-on-4 to remain on top of that. So, yes, that happened. I think that happened to us twice, right, where we scored an OT, where we took a – no. Oh, Long Island, and then they killed it off, and they went down and scored an OT. But, I mean, they had their opportunity, I felt like, to capitalize to make it a series. And when we had our opportunity, we capitalized there.
I know we're getting into a lot of the hockey talk and not much of the celebration. We had Killorn on before this, and he talked about how the power play struggled a little bit early, given the fact that Stamkos was missing. In that finals, you guys were on fire. What was it that changed?
Like, Maroon had the best. He had the best view from the bench.
Well, I mean, yeah. I would imagine you're absorbing and wondering why things are starting to click. I like to absorb that stuff. Doesn't mean I knew how to run a half wall.
No, I think honestly they were harping on the net front guy because I guess, you know how every coach is, goalies hate traffic, right? So Killer got put back on that top unit and he was just trying to take their eyes away. And I thought we did a good job of that, taking Dobie's eyes away. And then once you got that seam pass, he's kind of down and out. And we just made it difficult for him to see the puck. And I think with Cooch running the half wall and Victor Hedman running the top, I mean, two elite players, and you got Andre Palat that just had an unbelievable series, and then you have a threat that Braden Point, mind you, scored 13 goals in the playoffs, so you can pop him in the middle and score a goal too. So I think we found holes and we broke them down a little bit and we got them running and we capitalized on our opportunities.
Hey, Patty, goalies, they hate traffic. And when you're in tight, go up high. That's what they say.
That's what they say, yeah.
Hey, what about – who was a guy – and I actually thought you might say Palat, so maybe that is the case. But when you got to Tampa, he was so much better than you maybe thought. Like a guy you're like, oh, my God, I don't understand how good this player was.
Braden Point.
Yeah. So just yeah, like you didn't understand yet.
No, he's – and like you guys know, like – I mean, what you know, like playing out west, like who – guys never talked about Getzlaf or – you know, Scott Niedermeyer or Prongs when he was there. I mean, you guys, I mean, no one even talks about Braden Point ever. I mean, and now you guys just saw how elite of a player he is. I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm going to say this, but I thought him and McKinnon were the best two players I thought you could watch in the playoffs this year.
Wow.
That's just my opinion, though. I don't know how you guys feel, but I mean, that goal he scored against the Islanders was something else.
Yeah, no, it was insane. But when we were texting back and forth,
Hey, boys, hold on. My agent's calling. I can't see you guys.
UFA offer coming in.
Okay, all right. We're live on the news here. Spit and check.
Put him on speaker.
Live
put
signing.
Him on speaker.
5-year deal at $5 million.
No, he's like, dude, Seska's calling in Moscow, $7 million for 2 years. You never have to wear a mask again.
Seattle's looking at you.
You actually have to bring a positive COVID test with you to get into the country.
Wait till you're getting the AK-47 game trophies.
Oh,
player of the game. You have to agree to wrestle a bear at the Christmas game. When you guys have the Christmas jerseys on.
You guys
bear has to wrestle him.
Sorry, I'm back.
There we go.
Go ahead, RA.
Patty, we mentioned your history with Coop. You won, I believe it was a junior B title way back in 2007 with him. That's a long time going back with him. What was his message to the team before game six?
Me and Gaudreau sat next to each other all during the playoffs, and we just listened to his speeches, and he's just so smooth. He has that lawyer swag mentality where he walks in the room and, you know, he can just vibe it out and, I actually don't remember what he actually said, but, you know, I just, you know, kind of take the opportunity and, you know, overcome it. But he was just more focused on just winning the hockey game that day. You know, we were obviously going up 3-1. We laid an egg in game five and game six. He's like, boys, all we have to do is just win the hockey game. Focus on, you know, the first 10 minutes. Focus on, you know, the next 10 and focus on, you know, the next period and how you're going to set yourselves up. And he's just so good at talking, so smooth. And I think that's how he can get to his guys and how guys get motivated. And that's why he's such a successful coach in this league. And he's done an amazing job and he finally got his cup that he deserved. But, I didn't know what he kind of said. Cause you know, Chief last year was kind of like one word answers, like get to the point. And Coop has this swag to him and confidence to him that, you know, he walks around the room and talks for a while. So, that's why he's a great coach.
So Coop's more like a lawyer, whereas Chief's more like a defendant.
Basically.
Chief's like not guilty.
I plead the fifth.
Yeah. I ain't taking the stand.
Oh, man.
I it's funny, you know, watching your team, you have these top-end talent. You're talking about Point and Kucherov, but the minutes were spread out. I mean, I think that Coop was pretty good. I mean, Point's right around 20 minutes, but you were over 12 for the playoffs. So it's probably pretty important as a coaching staff and as a team. Like, let's get everyone going. Let's wear them down that way with four lines.
Yeah, we did a good job of that. I think towards the end, we kind of got gassed because if I don't know if you guys, you know, paid attention. We went 7-11 throughout the playoffs until we lost game one. To Dallas because guys were just kind of gassed. And to be honest with you, I think they're just tired of playing with Seti and Puck, with me and Seti. So there's like, we don't want to go with Maroon.
That rotating winger's like, fuck, no.
We're not even going to touch the puck. We're wasting time.
He's like, they're like, we get all this confidence on the top line. Then I go down there. And
yeah.
This is God honest truth.
It's like Russian roulette, every time they're getting the bullet.
God honest truth, Cooch.
Unreal.
Coop was like, Cooch, can you go? He's like, No, I'm too tired. No. By then, I'm like, Kucher's like, I can't.
Send the backup goalie. Set up the backup Tendy. Hey, so I asked this to Kaloran, but it should have been a question for you. Is the winning it last year with having everyone's family in the room, as opposed to this year where it was pretty much just the people who were tugging on the rope, a small amount of family members, was a little bit more intimate in that you got to share that time just with the guys who had won it, not being not distracted, but you know, attention other everywhere else?
Yeah, that was good. I thought, you know, there's no distractions. Obviously, we didn't have any family members come in. Just mom and dad flew in. So that was, you know how mom and dads are. They kind of stay away, do their thing. So that was kind of unbelievable feeling, though, like seeing the guys celebrate, you know, seeing guys get emotional. You don't really see that because people are kind of scattered, you know, hugging their mom and dads, hugging their wives, hugging their kids. So you got to see like everyone's emotions throughout the locker room, and you know, you got to see different personalities come out of the locker room partying and hanging out. So it was unbelievable. Obviously we want families there, but I think it's nice to win on the road and, you know, bring it back home. And, you know, the next day we got to see them, but I thought it was neat just to be with them, have our night together and, you know, enjoy it and, you know, party.
I'm kind of curious, like the difference between the two teams, in your opinion, like things you can kind of think of that were so different. I mean, I know you were down 3-2 to Dallas. Dallas must hate your guts. You get them in double OT in game seven, and now they're looking at like the Fat Boys beats us again.
What the fuck is wrong with you? They definitely,
you don't think Warren Perry's like, fuck. Well, he wasn't there both years. Fucking Jamie Benn's like, fucking maroon.
You'd think they would sign me by now. Jesus.
Yeah, money talks.
UFA, you go 3-for-3, brother.
I know. The first ever.
I love it.
That's just
differences. No, are there any different, like, are there any differences between the two teams that when you look back on it, or is it that kind of just stupid question?
Oh, it's kind of like the biz question.
What do you mean? Winning at different years and how was it experienced? Was that bad? Was that a bad one? Oh. I try to ask questions fans would want to know. All right,
fine.
Like, have you bug chugged a bottle of wine yet? I don't know. Like, what do you want me to ask you?
Honking Pink Whitney.
Yeah.
No, but obviously two different storylines, right? Last year was, you know, last place to first place. We were more of a grind you, exhaust you down low team. Underdogs, probably shouldn't have won the Stanley Cup. You know, Boston might have outplayed us in the first 10 minutes or 15 minutes of game seven. Like, but we found ways to chip away. We had goaltending. This year, COVID hit. You're in a bubble. You don't have family around. We have a skilled team, but we can also grind you down low and make you guys tired. And we adapted to that role. You know, it's a good sign when one of your leaders is Kucherov and telling you to dump the puck in. And obviously he's the kind of East.
Fuck, he would have loved me.
He would have loved you. No, I mean, he was coming back to the bench telling guys to get pucks in. Don't turn pucks over. You know, get it low. It works. So when you got a guy like that speaking up and taking a whole new role of leadership, I mean, it's amazing. I thought we had four lines that played all four different kind of styles of play, but can hurt you below the top of the circles too. And I thought our defensemen, we have the best defenseman on the team, which Victor Hedman, probably in the league. He's doing amazing. Doing something a lot of defensemen will probably never come close to doing. You know, Ryan McDonough eating pucks in his face, Luke Shen coming in, fighting Matt Martin, Bogle coming in. I mean, Shattenkirk, Sergachev took a whole new step. So, I mean, Tampa does have the best goalie. So, I mean, it's totally two different things. But I mean, it was two unbelievable runs that I will never forget. You know, I've just keep being part of history, which is fun.
Over under 91 million Sergachev career earnings. Like I mean, it looks so easy for him. He's got to get paid this year. It's like, this guy's, how old is he? 20?
He's a hell of a player. I don't know what you guys, he's just, I mean, he's got to be getting paid $8 million a year next year, no?
Yeah, his birth certificate says 20. We're not exactly sure some of the time with these guys.
Yeah, but I mean, but
so 40. He's gonna be like Markov hacking darts in the fucking in the shower soon. He's like, pay me my money.
He's gotta get a colonoscopy in the third year of his next deal.
Those Russians are having a time right now.
Oh, too, yeah.
So it's been great.
Speaking of, I feel like Vasilevsky got a little overshadowed. I had him as the early clubhouse leader for one of the Conn Smythe. And then it's not that he did anything wrong. It's just that, you know, Kucherov, Point, Hedman played so good. But talk about how steady he was during the whole duration of the playoffs. If he had a bad game, I didn't see it, Pat.
Yeah, I mean, that's why he's the top goalie in the league. That's why he's up for the Vezina every year. I mean, he's unbelievable. And I think if you have a goalie like that on your team going into the playoffs, I think you have a legit chance of winning every single year. And that's why Tampa locked him up for so many years. And that's why he's making $9 million. You know, we felt confident. I mean, the saves he was making during the Stanley Cup finals was unbelievable. I don't know if you saw that before that penalty in Game 6, that skate save he made out of nowhere. I mean, he made ridiculous saves, and we felt confident with him in the back end of that every single game. I don't think I've seen him let up more than, you know, 4 goals a game, you know, in the playoffs. I mean, he did an amazing job.
I think someone else who's been overshadowed is probably the Tampa fans. I know, you know, the Miami, that's a different city, different area. I sometimes think that Tampa Bay Lightning fans get maligned for no good reason. What's the reception been like since you guys got back? Obviously, I know there's a different world we're in, but it seems like they've really taken to you guys this time.
No, it was. I mean, our fans are great. We sell at the Amarillo Arena every single night. I mean, it's packed every single night, but obviously you guys saw it during the Bull Parade, how packed it was. So, and, you know, people in Raymond James Stadium too, and, you know, people outside of Raymond James. I mean, I didn't realize how packed Tampa was. I didn't know how many Tampa fans were actually going to be there. And I think they need to get all the respect because their fan base loves the Lightning. They're good every single year. They put a team that can have a chance to win the cup every single year, and that's why they sell out. But I mean, this place was it was rocking during the parade for sure. We had a blast.
Who was the drunkest guy on the team? Like, it was a Kucherov,
excluding yourself.
Well, yeah, you could handle it pretty good, although you were telling everybody to turn their lightsabers on or their flashlights at the
I wanted to be like a singer when they turned the lights on for the last song. You could see it.
Fucking Bono.
Did it land flat?
I was gonna sing Hootie and the Blowfish, Let Her Cry, but there's not enough lights out there. That's why.
You're like Elvis at the very end when he was like 400. They're like, holy shit, Maroon.
But in his own head, he thinks he's the guy from Queen during the fucking London show. There's like,
he's Meatloaf. Hey, is Anthony with you, or what's your plan now? Are you going to be sticking around Tampa, or what's the?
I'm in St. Louis right now. So,
Okay, I didn't know you were already back there.
So yeah, I'm back right now. Nice. He was just in Nashville for a hockey tournament, so he just did that. So I went and saw him today. So, you know, I'm getting tested for COVID tomorrow just because I don't want to give my kid anything. So I went and saw him real quick just to say hi, and then he's going to come over tomorrow. I'm going to take him to hockey and hang out. So I just wanted to make sure I was in the clear before anything happened. I'm going to Pinehurst, so I got to dial myself in here.
Right. Wait, when are you going? I'm going there. I'm going there in like 10 days.
I'm going to the 22nd to the 25th.
Maybe I'll just stay the extra 2 weeks.
You might as well.
What's about this Pinehurst? That. What's so special about Pinehurst?
I don't know, Patty. Have you been there?
I've never been. I heard Pinehurst, nothing like a thing.
Yeah, Pinehurst is like, it's like the, if you're a golf nerd, it's best place in the world. There's like 15 courses, it feels like, and they're all awesome to play. It's like a little community that's just basically all around golf. And one of the courses is one of the best in the world. So you can go there with buddies. You just get waffled, play golf all day. Everything's right there, walking distance, great hotel. It's just, it's awesome. It's one of the top spots in the country to go.
So it's Disneyland for golfers.
Basically. Yeah, exactly. I mean, like single guys don't necessarily love it. There's zero nightlife, but if you're playing 36 every day, like, well, I don't care. I'm not going out.
Why, Pat? Well, you want a piece of us in the fucking sandbag? Is that why you're asking?
I have a couple beautiful courses here in St. Louis.
All right, we'll fly out there. Who are you going to get as a partner?
I'll get whoever you want.
Nice. All right. We'll hold you to that.
We'll put you with Jansen. I'd love to see that guy.
We're not doing that.
Yes, that's it. That's what we're doing. That's it. And he's going to like eat a golf club on the third hole.
Like golf with Bluto Blutaski.
I would love to see that guy on a fucking golf course.
Imagine giving him an exploding ball, dude. He'd fight you if he found out it was you that put it on the tee.
We're in a charity golf tournament. You'll love this. And we're all not kind of paying attention. He's up first, and we see his ball. It's like up high a little bit. We're like, what the fuck is this guy doing? He put a tee down in the middle of the fairway to hit his ball. He thought that's what you did. No word of a lie.
Oh my god! Yeah, Jansen's the definition of the guy who tries to swing just way too hard.
There's only one reason to play with that guy if you just want to get crippled.
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't exactly live that country club lifestyle.
He doesn't know what a country club is.
Yeah.
He makes Al Chervik look like Arnold Palmer.
Unbelievable. He actually just posted a fight the other day of inside the Windsor Arena. I forget the name of it, but like the old school one. And he was fighting the captain for the London Knights. And we talked about it before. This guy used to bark on the ice like a dog. Like he would chase guys around on the forecheck barking like a dog.
What was like his every name? Night. Thompson? Was it Thompson?
No, Bois. Danny Bois. It was a good fucking scrap. He's always posting his scraps, and he always had some. I think that's when he's on the juice, so he's beating the wheels off everyone.
He's such a caveman. I love him. I don't know if he could handle a sandbagger though. He is. He's the guy who shows up to a country club on like a Harley, asks if he can use the bathroom to take a shit. They're like, no, sir. He suckers the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you guys beat my boy Wags? Did you guys whoop his ass?
We don't talk about that on here.
We can't release the results of what happened because we got to wait for the video to drop.
Wow.
Wags actually spoke a couple times, though, on the camera. It was crazy.
Shocker.
Patty, there's some rumors going around that you and Fergie might be teaming up to do a duet online sometime soon after that photo of you has gone viral. I don't know if you had a bathing suit on or what the situation was with that. Maybe a little drippage action below the waist.
Okay. If anyone has some common sense in the world, I was pouring beer on my face and guys are saying I pissed myself. Typical Barstool. Want to get their name out there. You know.
Hey, blame your boy YP. He spread it.
I'm blaming him for sure. No, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, it's, you know, good content, you know, whatever.
I'll tell you this. If I won a cup just for the rise, if there was the whole crowd in the Bay Area there, I might piss myself for a rise. You should have just rolled with it. You like anything you do at that moment will be funny and you pissed yourself. And then like they just resorted back to the Billy Madison part. And I mean, I think that's pretty cool.
It doesn't help that your kid's 12 and you can see that too. Either.
I was going to say,
yeah,
like,
might suck, yeah.
Hey, what's your dad do? He's a lawyer. What's your dad do? He pisses himself in the Stanley Cup celebration. So I'm watching the game with Yans, game six, and some guys are still on the ice. Some guys are back in the room. Everyone's full gear on besides gloves and helmet. You were done. You were out of the uniform so quick. You just want to get that all off?
Yeah, it's fucking disgusting. Like, I want to put the shirt on. Why do I want my skates to get ruined? You know, I'm the guy that collects everything in the locker room. I'm like packing shit up. I like saving shit. I didn't want nothing to get ruined. You know, I'm marking.
You're stealing
shit.
Kucherov's skate.
Yeah.
I'm gonna sell it.
Yeah.
Well, last year I fucked up. I had my gear on. Everything got lost. I lost my jersey. I finally found it. Like the Stanley Cup. I lost everything. So I was like, okay, here's what I'm gonna do this year. I'm just gonna take everything off and put it on, like put it somewhere else. And that's what I did.
Patty's hitting up the stick rack, not even celebrating with the cop, just like starting his own. Hey, you could plug your eBay account for the Kucherov sticks or sound. Game used third period to seal the deal. We'll start the bidding. We'll get it up on the Barstool store for you.
Hey, let's do it. We'll make some money off it.
Yeah.
Holy shit, boys.
So what's next? I know summertime, typically guys take off, go somewhere. You're just going to hang low in St. Louis. I know Americans are limited in where they can travel, but what are you just going to do now? Decompress a little more celly at home or what?
Yeah, I'm going to decompress. I got, like I said, I got a wedding coming up on October 30th. So I got to get ready for that. I got to get dialed in for the old lady. And then I got Pinehurst coming up. And then I'm just going to hang out with my son. So I've never been home for the winter to actually see him play hockey. Obviously, when he was playing last year, he played AAA. So I didn't get to really see him much. A little bit, you know, unless he played in town. So now I'm going to go travel with him. So he's got some games in Detroit, Milwaukee, Indianapolis. So he's got a couple of tournaments I get to go. Chicago. I'm going to go take him up there and just watch him, you know, play. So I can't wait for that. So that's going to be fun. And I have to dial it back in. So I don't know when we're going to start. So probably start working out here soon and get me ready for next year.
Patty, you think you end up back in Tampa? Or are you hoping that? I mean, I know you deserve a bit of a payday and, you know, term means everything now. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not asking for much now because I know kind of where I'm at in my career and what kind of role I can take on. I think I can take on a fourth line, good role, you know, bring your locker room together, you know, play in the second PP if you need me. If you need me to move up or down the lineup, I can. But, like, I mean, a couple of years would be nice, but, you know, I don't know. What am I trying to say?
Good fucking English there, buddy.
I know.
Fuck you. I get two cups. Pay me.
Yeah.
Was that question not good enough for you either or what?
No, that was good. No, I was just trying to figure out what I wanted to say there and I stumbled up there.
I think you got the point across, though. Like, you know your role, but you also know you can help a team win. I think any team that's thinking of trying to win a cup. I mean, Tampa literally looked at how St. Louis did it, how they lost to Columbus, and figured they needed to get heavier guy like you that could really play physical. It's speed, but it's not all speed.
We needed the guy who was willing to urinate himself at the parade in order to get us over.
Where'd you get that Bud Light Stanley Cup? Who chucked you that thing?
That was on her boat. The owner of the boat brought it there. He put it on her boat, and then we just partied with it. It was unbelievable because, like, obviously the cups and Stammer had his boat, and I think Schenner was in his boat. And once we saw that thing was unbelievable. I think the fans were enjoying that more than this real Stanley Cup. And it was the perfect timing, I guess, me being a huge partier during this cup parades. It worked out great.
It's funny, you and McDonald look like you could be staring off at like a concert, just waffled. Just the American flag, just proud Americans watching like CCR perform in the 70s.
Oh, it was unbelievable. And you guys know how Macker is. Like, he's quiet, doesn't really say much, and then he came out of his shell. I'm so happy he came out. Like, people got to see his personality a little bit. It was great. Like you said, we were waffled. We couldn't even.
Last I saw on Instagram, you were pouring beer in people's faces and they were loving it. They were keeping the cans as souvenirs, not in their mouths, on their faces.
Oh, God. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, though. You know, Biz? Like, I know it's COVID.
Is that it?
Freaking out. Yeah. But,
I don't give a shit. You guys have fun. You guys were drunk.
I mean, fuck, the fans are loving it, man. And anytime, you know how it is. Like, you see anyone.
Spit in my mouth. Spit in my mouth.
The Cooch video.
Teabag me, please. Just teabag me.
Isn't Cooch saying there's no rules tonight or something?
No, there's no rules tonight. He was
Well, there's never any
the
rules.
Crowd, his whole back was the crowd. People are. people were kissing him. He's like, there's no rules tonight. I mean, that was.
He's telling you guys, he's like, see, it should always be like this. And you're like, no. We're like, we need some law and order, pal. Let's say fucking. We'll get the AK-47 as the MVP thing of the game, but that's as far as we're bringing it.
I think the best part is that boat parade. I don't know how you guys, did you guys watch it on TV or you guys just get live feed?
I just watched Twitter. I just watched Twitter, the videos. I told Kalorn, somebody sent me a video of Joseph pulling the trigger behind like some hotel or something. It's great. You know, when you just get the finger so deep and then you like rip it out because you think you're going to puke, but you can't. Yeah, you go back in with the finger.
Oh, somebody caught that paparazzi style?
Oh, yeah. It's some guy in an office. He's like, oh, yeah, come on, buddy. Get it done. there it is.
Oh, did he have any idea who he was, or was it just like he saw?
He had a Lakers jersey on, so like I think the guy must have seen him earlier. He had some jersey on.
Oh,
Biz, you cut out there. Biz, you cut out there. I couldn't hear you.
Well, pay your Wi-Fi bill for Christ's sake.
First time.
That's a you problem. Stop taking team friendly deals and pay your fucking Wi-Fi.
I'm in the chances chewing the wires because you made fun of his golf game. Patty, dude, this is it's good to catch up, man. As we saw you in St. Louis at the All-Star break, and now we get to see you as another Cup champ. Really happy for you, dude.
Thanks. I appreciate it. You guys are funnier than hell. I love coming on.
Huge thanks to our buddy Pat Maroon for joining us on such short notice. I mean, obviously, he's been having a lot of fun celebrating his second Cup in as many years, so we appreciate him making a few minutes for us to talk to us. He's always entertaining, Biz, no doubt.
Oh, that was great towards the end. The scale off. Him and Ovi battling it out. Yeah, good
stuff. That's hilarious. I'm sure there's a lot of other bubble stories that we're not going to be privy to, but that went down. So pretty funny stuff if you want to let your imagination run wild. Anyways, hey, the playoffs didn't last as long as possible, and I'm sure some of our listeners can relate because most guys have tried different ways to last longer, but thinking about NFL scores and over-unders doesn't always work. Well, the folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to longer-lasting sex. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective, easy to use, and fast-acting. And the best part, they don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each Swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. You just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. That's it. So go to GetRoman.com/chicklets, and you can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/chicklets. Biz, lots of news out there.
It's like a dick chew. You just unwrap it, and then you tuck it in your foreskin. And then you let it soak in for about an hour, and then you crank her up and give the old lady a show.
Yeah.
Go Cirque du Soleil style off the top.
How long do you have to let it sit in there? Seven minutes?
Like a normal chew.
Okay.
I think like 30 minutes. Just let the nicotine get in there.
Well, I think in this case, the
Roman Swipe.
Is, you know, if you're an unselfish lover, and, you know, if you do happen to have a premature situation, just don't leave the lady hanging or your partner hanging. You know, I mean, you know, sometimes things happen, but you always want to make sure you take advantage of the other side.
Or wipe it on your tongue and just give her the alphabet.
All right,
business.
You're like the dad from Outside Providence.
I think you're going to say American Pie.
No, fuck. Either way. That guy's the man.
Either way, I take it. Well, Biz, like I said, lots of news out in the desert this week. Arizona defenseman Oliver Ekman-Larsson. Oliver Ekman-Larsson has been popping up quite a bit in trade rumors. Vancouver and Boston are hot on his trail. The 29-year-old left-shot defenseman has 7 years left on a deal that pays him $8.25 million a year. Arizona will probably need to retain contract or maybe take a deal back. What's your speculation on this one, Paulie?
Well, it's tricky because he has a big no-trade list, and I think only a few teams that are on the teams that he could move to are interested, one being Vancouver, one being Boston. But I think in the situation of knowing that he has this list, some teams may not be offering what the Coyotes just think is fair, at least up until this point. But it makes it trickier, right? Because he's got all the control as far as saying, like, well, I would consider these two teams. And, you know, I'd be lying if I couldn't see him fitting in Vancouver better. I think I think what's difficult about this is all of a sudden, if you go to Boston, you're automatically given what you're being paid, and the fact that you're replacing Krug, and he's fairly beloved, you're going to be held to a pretty goddamn high standard moving in there, Witt, as that number one D position. Especially, I'd imagine he's going to be making more than McAvoy. That's a lot of pressure, is it not?
Yeah, but the thing is, no matter who gets him, I think RA is right. I don't think they'll be able to take the full deal. So I don't know if the pressure is because he won't be like an 8.2 cap hit for whoever he goes. And I don't mean to keep talking over you, but I think it came out that he said those are the only two teams he'd go to. It was him who said just Boston or Van.
Right. And I don't know. I'm not sure if that list exists, or like you're saying, he's like, these are the teams that I would be willing to. And there was more than just the two. And then only two of them, the ones we mentioned, are willing to talk and consider the possibility. So I don't really know that much in depth. It could already be written out there. You know me, I'm not the one to be snooping around asking questions.
No, you never start rumors. No, so Elliot reported that he said only Boston or Vancouver. And the thing about Van is so they have I think they got three guys. They got Toffoli, Markstrom, and Tanev UFA. Now, you know, if they got him in, obviously I don't think they'd re-sign Chris Tanev, but he's huge in that room. The guys love him. And then Vertanen's RFA, and then Pettersson and Hughes are coming up. And then they also, like, the problem for them is they got two more years of that $3 million cap hit from the Luongo recapture retirement. Sure. So I don't know, like, if they can make that work, depending on how much money Arizona.
I would imagine.
Now, my question for you, though, Biz, hold on.
Yep.
Because I actually got asked this by a diehard Bruins fan. Because you hear his name, it's exciting to get a guy possibly on your team. Is he still that good?
Okay. Is he still? Wow. That's a very fair question. And I want you to consider the fact that I'm very close with Oliver. I saw him come into the league. I saw him blossom as this unbelievable defenseman. I've seen a guy who, like, the losing gets to you a little bit. And sometimes that could weigh a lot. Has he played up to worth 8.25 this past season? No. Do I think that if he goes to another team where he's a significant piece, but where there's like other pieces around? And another thing too is and that's why the Edmonton rumors, or at least at some point those negotiations were going through, but Oliver said that Edmonton was not one of the teams he was going to go to. And I was personally shocked because Dave Tippett was the coach in Arizona when he came in, and Tippett knows how to ride his stars. He knows how to make them feel like, listen, you're my guy. You're controlling the game. And when he gave that to Oliver, hey, to the point here, and this kind of gets overshadowed a little bit, because until Oliver had blossomed into what he did, it seemed like they picked Oliver to be that guy over Jans. And they ended up trading Jans. And that was a character piece in our locker room. So there was a lot of belief in Oliver. And he kept scaling up, consistent. Keep in mind, I think he had 5 seasons in a row. Maybe I'm even undershadowing it. Maybe it's 7 seasons in a row of double digits in goals. 2 seasons back-to-back in which he had 20 goals as a defenseman. Like, this guy was like – so I think being in that a winning culture will elevate his play. But I get where people are saying, oof, given the salary cap now, like, and this guy might be on the decline. We haven't really seen as much out of him. And if anything, a slight regression over the last 2 years. Fair. That's a fair assessment of it. But, you know, I think a change of scenery is exactly what he needs right now. And if they're willing to retain a little bit of the salary, yes, I think it's going to happen. I just don't know what the deal is right now on the table. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did get traded.
Yeah, it seems almost like a foregone conclusion at this point. Also, from the desert, the Yotes made it official and named Darryl Plandowski as the team's new director of amateur scouting. He'll bring a little winning pedigree with him, Biz. He's coming over from Tampa, so bring a little championship pedigree, which always helps. And also, Arizona has also said goodbye to forward Michael Grabner. After 2 years in the desert, the team waived him for the purpose of buying him out for the last year of his deal. He was due $3.35 million for next season, but instead he'll get a little over $2.5 million for the next 2 years. The Yotes will have cap hits of $833,000 and $1.258 million for the next 2 seasons. Grabner was only able to play 41 games last season due to that ugly eye injury he suffered. But he's still only 33. Actually, he turns 33 today, Monday. He still has some wheels. He can still help a team's penalty killing. So I would imagine he'd latch on somewhere else after this. And the Yotes right now have about 3.6 in cap space. So they need to shed some salary. But Grabner, great veteran, Biz, right?
Awesome. Guys loved him on the team. He was questionable on whether he was even going to go to the bubble this year. And he went there and he overperformed beyond expectations, especially given that when he got that high stick in the eye, I don't think he's been the same as far as vision. I know he wears a tinted visor now. It affected his game, but he was able to really put it together. And I don't know if that's the reason why they saw him as the guy where they could do that, but I hope he ends up somewhere happy. And I think he's definitely got some game left. So, and just going back to them adding these pieces in the brass section, general manager, scouting, wherever it is.
Saxophone.
If there's one way this organization is going to get back to winning, it's drafting and developing properly. And you look at the GM situation and how well they did it at it by getting good assets in later rounds with St. Louis. Now you got a guy who's with Tampa, and that speaks for itself. So they're starting to bring in some winning pedigree, and that's drafting and developing is where it begins. It's where it begins. Let's go here. Coyotes are fucking rolling, baby.
Oh. Yo! All right, a few more notes here. The Stars signed defenseman Andre Sekera to a 2-year, $3 million deal. The 34-year-old will carry a $1.5 million annual cap hit / AAV, 2 goals and 6 assists in 57 games last year. He signed a 1-year deal with the Stars last summer, and he was a very nice veteran presence for him. This is a guy who kills penalties, block shots, does all those little things. And I think we saw them in Dallas's cup run. He's not a guy who's going to score a ton of goals or set up guys, but he does all those little things you need to do in order to be a cup contender.
Yeah, very smart player. And I think that his play throughout the run to the finals is probably what gets him this deal, because he shows he can still make the simple play. He can still be, you know, I don't think necessarily top four, but in your top six for sure. He could play, he can help out all over the ice. So I think you can really play him up or down. You know, you can play him top pair if a guy goes hurt, if a guy gets hurt. But more than anything, it was his play that really made him deserve this deal. And I think Dallas is happy to give it to him, because you get a guy like that for 1.5, you'll take it. He's been around the league a long time. He knows what it takes, and he was able to perform at his best throughout, you know, that entire run.
Absolutely.
Hey, Jinx.
Absolutely, guys.
Yeah, money well spent. You know what you're going to get for it. Also, the Blackhawks traded defenseman Olli Maatta to L.A. for forward Brad Morrison. The 26-year-old Maatta has 2 years left on his deal that pays just over $4 million. Due to a prior retained salary, the Kings actually have to pay him $3.3 million in actual dollars. Of course, he was on a pair of cup winners in Pittsburgh. Morrison is a 23-year-old forward who was taken the fourth round of the 2015 draft. He has yet to play in the NHL. This appears to be a cap-shedding move for the Blackhawks. They do have a handful of RFAs to get to. Kubalik, Strom, Kajula, Kuku, Kachu, Subban, and a little over $11 million in cap space. So, again, this seems more like a salary dump than anything else. And finally, one last deal here. The Senators obtained defenseman Josh Brown from Florida for a fourth rounder. The 26-year-old defensive D-man played 56 games last year, but he also played for coach DJ Smith back with the Generals when they won a Memorial Cup in 2015. He is scheduled to be RFA, but presumably Ottawa will sign him. We'll obviously keep tabs on that.
Damn, DJ's loyal. He's just bringing in all his old boys. You got Scotty Sabourin
soldiers
there. Played his first game, scored. He's loyal to his dog.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
So a back muscle from watching too much Netflix or something, boom, jump that right on and digs that knot right
for your out. Big toe when you get gout in 2 weeks from crushing all that seafood.
Isn't gout the red? Isn't it the red meat, red wine disease?
I think it's rich. I think it's rich, really rich foods.
Rich man's disease. And I've been avoiding, not avoiding red wine, but I haven't been drinking red wine. Yeah, as, I think as long as I'm not drinking red wine, I'll be fine with the gout. I'm going to keep pounding clams and swordfish and fucking calamari and whatever else.
All right. Playoffs are over. Are you cutting your flow or?
Well, my
time. Dude, I saw that picture Grinnelli sent of us. You look fresh on the ice at the Garden, dude.
Oh, when I had the
when you're interviewing Maroon back in when like what's last going year. On with that flow out of the hat?
You know what? Like I said, it's like cosplay right now. It's like I haven't had hair like legit in so long.
But you
it's
don't just, have hair.
Well, I mean, I do. I mean, I don't have it on the top, but I have it like
you. Hey, you make a good point. he doesn't have hair on the top. You have an emotional attachment to your salad right now. I know it.
It's kind of like, honestly, my hair's been like a metaphor for the world, the planet. Everything's just so fucked up right now. It's like my hair's just like a mess too. So it's like kind of a metaphor.
You have not taken a hat off in public.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, yeah, I told you it looks like shit when I take it off. But I mean, like, look at this. It looks like pretty nice.
It is actually not bad. You and Grinnelli are running.
Fuck off, Biz. You're such a pussy. You're just afraid to chirp RA right now. You love his hair look right now. I think he looks fresh when he goes bald on the top.
Right.
I think there's something humorous about a man having a skullet. I don't know. If we're talking about it from the humorous standpoint of it and the fact that every time he hops on, I'm like, look at this fucking clown. I love it.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know, if you want, you like the clean shaven RA.
I actually forgot the picture Mikey sent us of RA interviewing Maroon. We were interviewing him. I was like, holy shit, I didn't even recognize you.
It'd be fun if you went and did a rat tail like I had when I was in school. Remember how I talked about the thing on the
you
bottom?
Kept in the,
I'm
in
just
the
having
box.
Fun. And like, I mean, I have said, oh, it might be a Halloween thing. And obviously, it's very doubtful we're going to be having a Halloween party or going to a Halloween party. That was kind of sort of my excuse. But I don't know, man. It's just like, when the fuck am I ever going to like blow my hair out like this again? I'll shave it at some point. But right now, it's fun, man. I don't know. As long as I have a hat
girls
on.
Girls just want to have fun.
I literally never had my hair this long when I grew hair. So,
So one thing we didn't talk about when we talked about my hairdos is this one time that I got braids. Did I mention that a few episodes later? And I sent Michael you the picture, Whit. Did I not?
Yes.
All right, you should do braids with the bottom part. That would be good. That would be nice for the boys.
Yeah.
Are you a team player or not?
Oh, I'm a total team player. I think I've proved that for the last 4 years. But like, what? Where would I do braids in the back? Like a couple.
The whole thing.
Out of your Nordiques.
The braid skullet.
It's too bad because I mean, it's when I put the hat on, actually, it does. Like, it looks all right. As long as I don't look like one of those idiots from like the mid '90s who look like he was at a Dave Matthews concert with like one of those mushroom hairdos. Those are the fucking worst. This is just
I know the haircuts you're talking about. That Nordiques hat looks like it's brand new too. Like you've kept that thing fresh, that thing clean throughout this run.
Absolutely, and the best way to clean hats, I've given this advice on the show before. You take your hat into the shower with you. You don't put it in the dishwasher. You don't put it in the sink. I know everyone has the you put it, you wear it in the shower, and you soap it up like you would your head, and you clean the inside, and you come out, and you air dry it, and the hat looks almost brand new. I've given that advice numerous times. I know everyone says, oh, they have those like devices. You put your hat in the dishwasher. Or the that's too rough. That rattles it around. If you literally wear your hat in the sink, in the shower, I'm sorry, just soap it up like you would your hair, come out, dry it, and the thing looks perfect. This thing is, you know.
A little RA life hack, cheat code.
Life hack. Speaking of life hacks, players in the Quebec Major Junior Hockey League are going to have to figure out some new life hacks, Biz. The league has instituted new rules regarding fighting, and they're pretty strict. Quebec Junior Education Minister Isabelle Charest had threatened to hold up to $20 million in government relief funding unless fighting was penalized more strictly, and now players in a fight will receive not only the five-minute major, they're going to get a 10-minute misconduct as well, and players face a suspension after three fights in the season. You know, I understand hockey's changed and concussions we know more about and fighting we know more about, but I don't know. I don't know about withholding government funds until you change the rules. It feels way too big brothery. Also, what kind of precedent is this going to set with other leagues? Well, if you guys don't do this, you're not going to get the money. I'm not a fan of it. Not so much the I understand you don't want 16-year-old kids punching the fuck out of each other, but to do it in this way feels kind of weird. Let's go to you, Biz, first.
I don't know. I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to understand it all, move to the way society in general is moving and being more aware of all, you know, all the head injuries and so on and so forth. But Jesus Christ, like, where does it end? If this is where it is now, like, what are they going to be asking for next time? Like, I think that hockey is still relevant in the sport of hockey. I think it needs to be in there. I think it's
fighting. You know, it's, I think you meant fighting. You meant
what did sorry. I say? Hitting.
You said hockey's still relevant with hockey.
Oh, geez. Well, that was dumb.
I hope so.
But I think everybody knows what I meant when I was saying that. Sorry, it's been a long pod here.
Plus no, I did. I did. But I just you know what? People are listening to him. You fucking idiot. But I'm like, no, guys. He knows what he said. I'm just reminding you.
No. I appreciate you correcting me. A little brain glitch there. But I think it's still relevant. And I don't know. Maybe at that young age, they're trying to get it out because, you know, you don't want young kids at 16 years old. Because, fuck, I was fighting grown men. I fought a couple of kids my first year of junior when I was 16 that were 20 years old. And I understand that could be hard. But I don't know. I grew up a little bit differently. And my opinion is on it that it's going a little too far. I think it's a little fucking soft.
Yeah, I it's very surprising to think about major junior without fighting, especially the Quebec League used to have some heavyweights in that league. The thing is true though, RA, like, why can't that be up to the league to decide when the government's getting involved? It's so odd. It's and all of a sudden they can't get certain things until they make changes you want. Like, okay, well, is this even like a privately run league anymore? It doesn't make any sense to me. There's arguments to both sides, but I mean, you don't have to fight, right? Just because it's there, it's part of the sport. I mean, the guys, a lot of these kids are going to the next level, whether it's the NHL, I don't know, but the AHL and stuff like that. You gotta know how to protect yourself. So it's different to think of a league that at some point could be completely done with fighting, similar way colleges.
Yeah. I just don't like the whole, like, dangle the carrot, like, do this so you can get that.
Yeah.
They're two unrelated things. I understand not wanting teenage kids to fight, but I don't know if that's the way to do it. Sunday morning, lots of GG specials were getting made out there. Maybe it was the popular the video that our buddy Chase and Grayley dropped, but a whole bunch of GG specials getting made. What a lot of people digging the sandwich out there.
Hey, I will say that the vast majority of people love that sandwich. Actually, every tweet I see is people saying the sandwich is unreal with a picture. I've always said I just don't like cream cheese. I mean, I could the jelly and the bacon, whatever, but I could probably do a sesame bagel with jelly and bacon and enjoy it because I like anything bacon. It was the cream cheese I always shit on. That right. was the trash bucket part of the trash bucket sandwich.
Are you a mayo fan?
Mayo. Oh, I think mayo is the most disgusting thing in the world. I actually couldn't watch a video. There was a video, might have been Barstool, of girl like drinking mayo. I could have thrown up. I had to quickly swipe away.
They have these.
Seen
clips?
This documentary, The Social Dilemma?
Yes, it's unbelievable. Have we not talked about that yet?
No,
I just walked downstairs and she was watching it, and I was like, "Oh, I'll watch." She was telling me, "I was what is this Social Dilemma? What it's about?" She said, "How much of a joke social media is?" And I said, "Oh, I'm gonna watch it when we're done." I randomly just thought of it.
You know what? We'll watch it tonight, and we'll talk about it next episode because we've already gone much longer than we needed to. And go ahead, Biz.
I thought I could have swore we talked about it because Mike Commodore tweeted about it, and he's been watching it. I've already seen it. Have you not watched it in full, Whit?
I haven't seen it at all.
Oh, okay. So, all right. I thought when you walked by and you kind of got stopped.
It was right after we talked to Kalorn, so I just went downstairs to grab a beer.
Yeah, it's a very, very serious issue, and it opened my eyes to a few things. It's fucking wild.
Absolutely. Yeah, so.
I
had the same pair of Van A glass sunglasses I brought on that boat trip. I lost them down there. I wasn't even drunk. I took them out. So if anyone down Provincetown finds a 30-year-old pair of Van A sunglasses.
I'm out of here. Fuck off. That's the end. See you guys.
One thing we do got to plug is the merch, and it's all going to charity. I don't know if we've already mentioned. So the Pink Whitney merch right now, it's on sale. Who are we teaming up with in order to donate 100% of net proceeds go to Grinnelli?
It's Pink Whitney merch and Spit and Chicklets merch. We have all pink. It's going to the Roots and Wings Charitable Foundation. So support breast cancer and, you know, trying to do our part here. We raised a lot of money last year, and we hope to raise more this year.
All right.
Let's do it. Let's attack that this year. And I think that they came out great too, Mikey. So great work. And that is an awesome charity. Please check it out.
And Thursday is going to be the last time that we're coming at you twice a week for at least a little bit here, guys. So enjoy the two a week, and then we'll be back down to one.
Peace.
As always, we like to send a huge thanks to our sponsors here at Spit and Chicklets. Big thanks to everybody at New Amsterdam Vodka and Pink Whitney. Big thanks to everybody over at Whoop for taking care of our fitness. Huge thanks to everybody at Cross Country Mortgage for taking care of everybody refinancing or taking out their first mortgage. Big thanks to Muggsy for keeping us nice and comfy. Huge thanks to everybody at Roman. The fellas, thank you. And a big thanks to everybody over at Theragun for keeping us nice and comfy and cozy. Have a great week, all.